Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Madman. You're a madman. Blasphemy. This is madness.
This is Sparta!
Who do we have left? Britney Spears. Cam Kardashian. Paris Hilton. Yeah, that's what we have to look forward to, Kanye West. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. We're global.
I mean, the lines are blowing up.
Shop, S-H-O-P-P-E. Oh, look at you. All right, everybody, I'll be right with you. I'm a good guy. If you attack us, I attack you. Here I am. Hello, my name is Brian Hammer Jackson, and you're with the Brian Hammer Jackson Show. Boy, it was powerful. This is a no-win situation. I'll give you a call in about an hour and a half. You know what I mean? I survived it, and I'm at the end of it. Okay.
Hello. Good morning. It's been a long time since it's been on the air. Today is December 1st, 2021. We made it. It's December. It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas. It's 80 degrees in California. Freezing. You have to wear a sweater. It is really cold. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. We are global. Welcome to the show. I haven't been on the air for a while, but yet my ratings are high. I have no idea, but thank you for listening to the podcasts. I think that worked. I think that's why the ratings are spiking. Maybe you missed me. Hope you did. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson, and you're not. And today what we're going to talk about, oh, wait, if you'd like to come into the studio, I'll give you the number. That way you come in, you can yell at me, you can talk to me, I can be in my orbit. Yeah, it'll be me and you, baby. But if you'd like to come in by calling in, the number is 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number to get your voice heard around the world, and around the world, really. I'm looking at the countries and everything, and what do you know? We're spiking in India. Must be the pandemic. They're listening to us. Hello, India. Indian, ¿cómo estás? Bueno, welcome. Today we're going to talk about Cuomo. That's a setup. Title, Free Cuomo. He ain't no homo. That's right. That's right. You women out there. You women, you sensitive women running around as a victim all the time. I see you. I see you in the supermarkets. I see you everywhere. You're up there with your hair all nice and your makeup and your tight sweaters and your Botox lips and your perfume that says, hello, big boy. And I see you wearing your come fuck me boots. I see it all around, nothing but sexual things. And as innocent men, we try to ignore you. But it doesn't work. Because you walk by us and you have that walk that you know what that walk means. That walk means, hello, stranger. Yeah. Predators. Looking all good and everything. I know what you're about. Entrapment. Come there with those lipsticks and those earrings and that new dress you're wearing and that Walmart box that you just put in your trunk. bending over so slightly, saying, anybody looking at my ass? I hope you are, because I bought this shirt and I bought these pants. I know what you're about. I see you. I see you. I see you jogging. You know, one minute you're all nice and jogging, walking, and you have a sweater on your ass because nobody wants to see your fat ass. I understand. And that's good. See, those are the good ones. And then all of a sudden you start losing weight and you rip off that sweater and you go, whoa, here it is. Baby got back. And you're jogging with those little tight little shorts on. And that little halter top that gently sways in the wind. And your breast is just going, boom, 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 boom. I see it. And we try to exist. Men out there. We try not to pay attention to it, but we can only have so much restraint. We succumb to your wild ways and your wickedness. And then we just say something like, hey, how you doing? Or, you look cute. Oh, is that a new hairstyle? Oh, I love the way you fit this sweater. You know, things we say at work, right? And all of a sudden, you get offended. Oh, all hell breaks loose. Because you spent about an hour in that mirror. You knew what you were doing. You knew exactly what you were doing. Putting on that makeup, that eyeliner, batting your little eyelashes at, you know, at yourself in the mirror. You knew exactly what you were doing. You're going fishing. You are a hunter. And we are the prey. That's what's going on here. That's what's going on. And as soon as a man takes notice and says something nice like, hey, your ass looks nice today. Oh, all of a sudden you get offended. Oh, you know how long you work to get that ass just right? But no, we cannot comment on it because then you're going to get all upset. You're going to go to HR, and this happened to be at work. You're going to go to HR, and all hell broke loose. I lose my job. My kids are now not in private school. They're in public school, and they're selling roofies in school just to make, just because they're bored. And next thing you know, they're drug addicts, and I have to send my kid to rehab, all because of your ass. That's right. All because I made a comment about how nice your ass looks. So very good. And ladies, quit being uptight. Listen. Next time a man checks your ass out, give him a thank you. Would it hurt you so much to say thank you? Would it really? Would it kill you that much to say thank you? No. But we don't live in that kind of world anymore. That's not the world I live in. Man, the world I live in, women were women and men were men. None of this transgender, non-gender, non-binary, whatever. None of that crap was in my world. Let me tell you about my world. Women were women and men were men. And women were catching men. And they're getting married. You slap a woman on the ass, that's an engagement. That's an engagement ring. That's my world. You slap a woman on the ass now, and you lose your career, your job, your wife divorces you, the kids are now finding new friends they call gang members, all because of you. You're out of control, ladies. You're out of control. Let me tell you something. You know the difference between a sexual predator and a boyfriend? The only difference is that you're attracted to the boyfriend. And the sexual predator is usually an ugly guy. Yeah, that's right. Good-looking guys are not sexual assault predators at work. They're not. The good-looking doctors or the interns or whatever, they can do anything they want. They hit you on the butt and you go, you giggle and you laugh, hi. But then you get some ugly motherfucker that kind of touch your butt and you're going to go, okay, that's sexual assault. I'm calling the cops. It's only because he's ugly. That's the only difference. I mean, you go to prison right now, and you see men just sitting there, and you're going to see one ugly motherfucker. There's the ugliest guy in prison. You know who he is because he's the ugly guy in prison. And you know why he's in there. Because he probably touched some woman accidentally, touched her on the ass. She called the cops. That dude's probably serving life right now because he's ugly. Only because he's ugly. If he was good-looking, he would not be in prison. If he was good-looking, he would be in your bed when your husband's at work. That's how it works. That's how it works. You women got all the power. You got everything. Everything. So we're going to talk about Cuomo, title says. Free Cuomo, he ain't no homo. He's not. The only thing that Cuomo's guilty of is being ugly. Hey, you know. You know what I mean? He's guilty of being a man. That's what it is. There are no more men today. Look at them, those little metrosexual men running around with their fingernails all polished and everything, and their ties on straight, and their pants are all pressed and everything, and they go to work like that. What kind of man is that? You give me a man with a wrinkled-ass shirt, you know he's a man. You give me a man who scratches his balls at lunchtime while he's talking to you about how your kids are doing, that's a man. That's what men are. But you women took that away from us. We can't even scratch our balls in public afraid that we're going to offend somebody. I say we should have free scratching ball day. There should be free ball month. Free balling. Sometimes we need to scratch the shit. Without you women getting offended. We wouldn't get offended if you guys were scratching your crotch. I mean, I see a girl in the store and she's scratching her crotch. I'm thinking, what a hot babe. I turn my iPod on, and I'm listening to music while she's doing it, and slowly her head goes back and forth in the wind, and her hands are going down there, and it's synchronized like a symphony. I'm not calling the manager. I'm selling tickets. Well, that's not how it is today anymore. It's not how it is. We're going to examine Cuomo. We're going to see what the hubbub is about. And he just did a video testimony, I guess. We're going to watch it live. And we're going to view some of the accusations because you women are out there, you hunters. You're dick hunters. That's what you are. Looking for a lottery ticket. A man will accidentally touch your breast and there's a lawsuit because your breast is just untouchable. They call it unwanted touching. Really? Well, I'll tell you, how many unwanted touching was at Black Friday when you're at Walmart and you're shoulder to shoulder with people? How many people accidentally touch your breast with an elbow or something? Did you get mad? Did you call the police? No, you didn't. You handled it right. You handled it like a woman. You know, when I was a kid, let me tell you something. When I was a kid, you could go up there and you could pinch a woman on the ass and you had to learn how to duck. See, we practice that because she's going to smack you. She's going to hit you. She's going to punch you out. That's what she's going to do. But it's worth the beating. And we know this as men. Take the beating. Take the ass whooping. We got a piece of tit. That's how it was. When I was a kid, man, unbelievable. If I had a penny for every woman that I touched, I'd be a millionaire. And if I had a nickel for every woman that touched me, unwantedly, I'm a man too, it works both ways. If I had a nickel for every woman that touched me unwantedly, I would have about 50 cents. Maybe 25. Okay, fine, 10 cents. Still, it still counts. Doesn't work that way with men. We like it too much. We're not complaining. So we're going to examine that. Here's the subject. Title, Free Cuomo, He Ain't No Homo. Cuomo strikes defiant tone. Defiant tone! You know, let's look at defiant for a minute, okay? I mean, it's kind of harsh, right? I mean, you're accused of something. I'm going to be defiant. I am. I'm not going to be nice. If you accuse me of something and I know I did not do it, possibly could, but I didn't. I am a usual suspect, but what the hell? It goes with the territory. But I'm going to be defiant. It's like Mr. Jackson, did you have sex with this woman? Well, I'm not going to be defiant. Oh, yeah, I did. That was great. That was amazing. You should see the reviews on Yelp. Now, if they ask me, Mr. Jackson, did you have sex with this ugly woman? Oh, hell no. I'm defiant. No. What? You're going to pin that shit on me? Oh, no. Defiant. That's different. Because you're accused of something that you did not do. You're defiant. So Cuomo strikes a defiant tone in a newly released video of his testimony. Let's look at the word testimony. Testes, testicle, testy, moaning, moan. Nobody moans if they're not getting pleasure. Testy, moany. Ah, okay, we're in a good area here because of his testimony. Now, I never heard of a woman moan if she was not having pleasure. I don't think that really happens. Sometimes they don't even moan when they're having pleasure because she's a defiant bitch. But some are not. So testimony, okay, we're still safe area. This is about alleged sexual misconduct. Allege. Let's look at allege. A ledge is part of a cliff. If you jump off, it's like you jump off the ledge. A ledge. He didn't jump off. He didn't go to the other zone. Misconduct. Oh, really? And whose level do you call misconduct? Let's look at that word, misconduct. And you know it starts with a miss, so it means miss a female, because a guy is a mister, so this is a miss. Misconduct. Right there, she's guilty. Misconduct. It had to be a woman. You only put a miss in front of something that is they're accusing you, and you're defiant about this. You never see a mister conduct. It's always a misconduct. Trouble. Trouble with a capital T that rhymes with P, and that spells pool. I don't know. Let's not get there. Trouble. Trouble, I tell you. And then I put in here, I think he was set up. He was set up. Going back to what I said before. You women who go into the mirror and then you put your eyeliner on and then some of you probably wash your face. Oh, my God. You know what you want. Washing your face and then you're putting on that war paint. You know, the lips, the eyeliner, the eyelashes. Oh, my. And you pinch your cheeks so you can get the rosy in it. That's trouble. That's trouble right there. You're looking for trouble in the mirror. And then you look all good because you wonder what to wear. And you already knew that you plotted this the day before. You know what you're going to wear. And you know who's going to be in that office. That's right. It's always Willie. Willie's going to be right there. Willie sits right next to you. And you're up there dressing for Willie. Some of you guys are dressing for Shaniqua. But let me just go with Willie. And you know you're putting on that dress. That's right. And you're getting your husband to work. And he goes, bye, dear. And your little brats that you call children, bye, mommy. Yeah, mommy knows what mommy's up to. Mommy's up to no good. If they knew what mommy was thinking, mommy would not be in that house. Mommy. Yeah, you know what you're up to. You're getting on that nice little dress. And then you put on some perfume. Who puts on perfume to work? Why do you need perfume? Why do you need... See, that's a warning. Guys, if a woman has perfume at work, run. What it is a scent of a man. We smell that scent. We lose our mind. And we do things that we don't want to do. It's a scent of a woman. And that's why you're in jail right now, because you smell that scent. Don't be a scenter. And you put on that perfume, and you do that hair nice, and then you wiggle, and you look in that mirror for a good hour. Did it's time for work. And you know Willie's there. Willie had no idea what's going on right now, because Willie, we call our hero, Willie's just sitting there, you know, giving money to charity, helping blind puppies cross streets. That's Willie. Willie goes to work like normal, and all of a sudden, there she is. Miss, I can't wait to go to HR and tell on your ass sitting right next to you. With that, and then Willie's drinking his coffee, minding his own business, checking his Facebook, getting a lot of likes because Willie's a good guy. And then he sits next to you. Willie has a cup of coffee, and coffee smells good. That's all Willie was thinking, was smelling his coffee. Coffee good. All of a sudden, he smells something else in the air. It was like the perfume. Your perfume was so pure. It's all over the place. People know you came in before you came in. And as soon as you left, your perfume was still there. Still there the next morning. People know that you were there at work. And he smells that perfume, and it begins Willie's downfall. And he looks over there to see who's wearing that perfume. And there you are. There you are, pretending to do work, ignoring Willie. And you know what you're doing to Willie. So Willie makes a mistake and go, is that nice? What kind of perfume is that? That's nice perfume. And then you get with your snide attitude. I don't know what it is. I just put it on. Leave me alone. I got to work. And then Willie goes, well, that's a bitch. But Willie is still a nice guy, and he's not seeing these signs of backing away. All right, little innocent Willie. And Willie goes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. You're not offending me, you know, miss. I'm going to catch you and take you to HR and ruin your life. You're not offending me. I just need to work, and I don't need to be bothered by you. Willie! Now, Willie been sitting there for 7 years. You've been sitting there for 6 years, and now you're upset because Willie smelled your perfume? And then all of a sudden, Willie gets upset going, well, you know what? I don't really care. You're acting like a bitch. She goes, oh, that's it. That's it. You're making me uncomfortable. You ain't going to call me a bitch. Now, Willie finds himself in a situation. He finds himself, Willie's going down. And Willie didn't need to go down. He just called her a bitch. And then she's on her way. I'm going to go to HR. Go, HR? Willie didn't even know what HR was. Willie never been to HR. He didn't even know they even had an HR. Willie thought HR stands for Homie's Restroom. Willie didn't know. So she goes to HR and says, I'm being harassed by Willie. Willie's harassing me. And HR goes, really? Write it down. And then she writes down, Willie called me a bitch. Willie's invading my bubble. Willie's making me uncomfortable. He's looking at me funny. I cannot work. This is a hostile working place. She writes that down. They call Willie. Willie gets his phone at the desk. Hello, this is Willie. Willie, this is HR. Would you mind coming down? What you want? Willie? Now, Willie's pissed off at this point. Why are you calling me on HR? I just came in to do my coffee. And then Willie has an attitude because he's all upset. Willie goes down to HR and goes, yeah, this is Willie. Are you Willie Jackson? Yes, Willie Jackson. Hi, nice to meet you, ma'am. Hi, sit down, Willie. What's wrong? Willie, well, you know, miss, I want to get your black ass out of here who sits next to you. Yeah, I've known her for 5 years. Seems like a nice person. Well, there was an incident that happened this morning. Did you notice? Yeah, I was there, bitch. Now, Willie happens to call everybody a bitch. I mean, it's nothing. You know, Willie lives in a rough neighborhood, and that's how they do it. Hey, Willie, this is Shaniqua. Hey, bitch, that's how Willie talks. You know what I mean? Hey, Willie, what's going on? Hey, bitch. What's going on, bitch? What's Willie? Everybody knows Willie. And then the HR person says, well, you're creating a hostile environment. What did I do? Well, you're staring at, I'm going to get your black ass out of here. Miss, I'm going to get your black ass out of here. And you're making her uncomfortable. And Willie goes, I don't know how I made her uncomfortable. I've been sitting next to her for 6 years. I mean, I smelled her perfume, and I made a comment on her perfume. And HR goes, you made a comment on her perfume? Yeah, I said it was nice. Why did you make a comment on her perfume? Because I thought it was nice. Do you like her perfume? No. Do you want to wear her perfume? Hell no. Then why are you commenting on her perfume? I don't know. I see, Willie. And then she starts marking little checks. Willie don't know what's going on. Willie had a little bit of schooling. Willie's cool. You also called her a bitch. Yeah? Well, we frowned upon that. Willie, you can't be calling people bitches. Bitch, I don't know what you're talking about. See, right there, Willie. Right there. That's disrespectful for women, Willie. You can't be disrespectful. I ain't no disrespectful. That's how I call people. That's how I didn't call her a hoe. Another check. Well, Willie, she's thinking that she's going to sue the company if we don't get rid of you. What? I've been working here for like 7 years and everything. I come in for overtime. I sit by my own business. And because some bitch, woman, accused me of being in a hostile environment. I ain't in no hostile environment. You want to know what a hostile environment is? Hostile environment is living in my neighborhood. People getting shot every day. Ever since I got off of parole, I've been nice. Well, Willie, we do have a problem. Next thing you know, Willie gets written up. Well, we're going to write you up, Willie. Well, Willie, go, what did that mean? Well, what it means is that you got a warning right now, and you got to learn how to behave yourself because we don't want to create a hostile environment. So you go there on your desk, and you just mind your P's and Q's. Goes, where's my P's and Q's? Is that, I don't know what, just go mind your business, Willie. You've been written up once. And we don't want this happening. Willie doesn't know. Willie has no idea what the hell is going on. Willie goes to the desk, and there she is, right there, staring at him. Miss, I'm going to get you this time. I'm going to get you this time. So Willie don't even look at her anymore. Willie's working and come to lunchtime. And Willie knows that she gets up, and she left her purse there. Now, Willie, being a gentleman as he is, says, I know we're not talking. I'm not supposed to talk to you, dumbass. But you left your purse, and I'm just being nice. And she turns around going, what did you call me? What? Did you just call me a dumbass? What? You call me a dumbass? What? I'm going to HR. Oh, what the fuck? And that's happened. Willie, all Willie was trying to say is you left your purse. Now she goes to HR. Well, Willie's creating a hostile environment. First he called me a bitch, and now I'm a dumbass. I got to get Willie. That's right. And you know what the HR says? That's right. We're going to get rid of that nigga. Now, they don't say that in the documentary, in the documents. That's what they're thinking. Because Willie don't have a chance now. So Willie goes to HR again. And HR goes, I told you, Willie. I told you. We've written your ass up, Willie. Why are you creating a hostile environment? I didn't create no hostile environment. The bitch left her purse there. Willie, we had this talk. You don't call women bitches. I didn't call her a hoe. We don't call women a hoe. I don't know what the fuck you call them. I don't know what's going on anymore. Willie, I see you're upset. I'm even offended by your language. My language? Yeah. I'm going to have to let you go, Willie. What? I'm going to have to let you go. What do you mean let me go? You're fired, Willie. Fired? For what? Well, you created a hostile environment. She's a little nervous, and she's offended by you, and we can't have that, Willie. I mean, she can get a lawyer. I know you can't afford one, and we can't have this. You got to leave, Willie. Oh, yeah? I don't quit this motherfucking place anyway. See, that's why we fired you, Willie. Now, you go empty up your desk. Willie going, and then Willie's talking to himself. Motherfucker, fired my ass. I've been here for 6 years. Willie, I can still hear you. Shut up, bitch. Willie, get in your desk and get out. And Willie's getting out and everything. Willie's a nice guy. He worked there for 6 years. All he said was the perfume smelled nice. All of a sudden, Willie fired. Now, Willie got some kids, and some of them are his. And so now he has to go to his wife and says, you know what? I don't have a job. She goes, you don't have no job. He goes, no, I don't have no job. I got fired. Why did you get fired? I called some woman a bitch, and I said her perfume. You what? You mentioned a comment about perfume? Yeah, but I called her a bitch. Fuck the bitch. Why did you make a comment on woman perfume? I don't know what I was doing. I think I was being nice. You old dumbass, Willie. I'm leaving you and the kids. You're leaving me and the kids? But I just lost my job today. I'm leaving. And there goes the kids. And there she goes. She even leaves in your car. You go, that's my car. And she takes off. Now Willie by himself, and he's alone with a gun. Nothing good's going to come out of this. Willie's still pissed off. Next thing you know, Willie goes to the job, shoots up the place and everything. Willie is serving time. And he's serving time all because a woman put on some perfume. There's another fine man that's serving some time. Poor Willie. And that's how it begins. That's how it begins. So we're going to examine Cuomo, and we're going to go with the facts. I want to say hello to the lovely Ellie, baby. Good morning, Ellen Johnson. Johnson Ellen. Good morning. What are you doing? Poor Willie.
Oh, my God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Good morning. And we have Fuck You Joe in the studio. Good morning, Fuck You Joe.
Ha! This is what? You got me, motherfucker.
I would put you in jail for imitating black people. That is the worst impression I ever had. I'd call the cops on you. Motherfucker, this racist motherfucker. Ah,
He's winning.
Put you in jail for being a racist.
I know. We're going to go to HR because Joe's a racist motherfucker.
Yeah, right.
Hey, this is winning.
Oh, fuck. Oh, man.
Joe, we told you about your limitations. I like women. I don't know. What the fuck are you talking about?
Is that Willie or Tiny? I don't know which one it is. Both offend me.
I don't know. Same difference. Willie's a person, so is Tiny.
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck me. Hey, you know what, though? Even though you were fucking around with the end of the story with Willie, with the gun and all that, you know, I bet it's possible. Because I bet you most men in the United States nowadays, they get involved in bullshit like that. I start off complimenting some woman. The broad wants to make fucking trouble. So she takes it to HR, and HR has no fucking choice but to be a fucking pain in the ass for the guy who's only trying to be a gentleman. So, you know,
right.
You could be right.
Yeah. Happens all the time. The problem is men don't report to shit. You know?
Yeah, they
men,
should. Yeah.
They should. I mean, if I even had a girl looking at me funny, I'm going HR. Cover my ass. And men just don't report it. Wait, we got 111. 111, you're live on the air. There's a new thing on Blog Talk. When you guys come in, there's a hand that raises now. I never seen that before. It's a big, giant hand that stacks up in the air.
No?
That's different. Hello, 111. Time. Really? I'm just seeing
help,
that.
I need help, Brian.
Yeah, years ago.
You
oh,
need help.
I'm trapped in this autonomous 2010 red SUV. It's driving itself. I can't escape.
See? Sergeant's the biggest.
I think it's about to run over some people.
SUV.
I can't stop it.
I know.
Well, we'll keep the radio on. I don't want to lose a listener.
I'll do the best I can, but I'll be listening, though. I mean, it's a great show. I'm sure it'll be a great show, as usual. But I don't know what's going to happen to me, man. This damn who knew they were building autonomous vehicles with a mind of their own in 2010? It's
that's
like
what
Skynet with this
means,
thing, man. It's just running over folks. I can't stop it.
That's what it means, Sarge. Autonomous means a mind of its own.
A mind of its own.
Well, anyway, man, call the cops, man. I don't know where I am right now. This thing blocked out all the reception and rolled up the windows and tinted them, too.
Ten and two.
I don't know what's happening, man, but I'm going to hang in there, and I'm just listening to the show, and, man, I'll make a comment every now and then if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all. Just be careful. Just be careful. Oh my! Make sure you run over the Trump supporters.
Yeah.
Just slow down the car.
With autonomous SUVs. They know how to target Trump supporters.
Oh, man, you be safe. You be safe.
Hey, NBC is NBC. Obviously, there's autonomous, aren't they? SUV runs over people in parade. No human input required.
Oh, man. Well, Sarge, I hope you be safe, and I'm glad you're here. It's glad to hear your voice.
Yeah.
We got Sarge in the room. We got,
the, I hope
we got Fuck You Joe in
the
room. And Ellen, yeah, exactly. Stop the steal. So that's what today's show is about, is Free Cuomo, He Ain't No Homo. And we're going to go over some of the testimonies of what Cuomo's done, what he says, all that bullshit.
Are you talking about
yeah,
the governor?
But you know, I'm talking about the governor, Andrew Cuomo.
The
but
governor.
You know what's happening now? They actually suspended Chris Cuomo from CNN as a person who was aiding and abetting. Yes.
No shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah. They got his ass because in his testimony, the girl's testimony, Chris Cuomo, his brother, CNN, was aiding and abetting and messing with the people, the witnesses and shit. So this shit got serious.
When were they accusing Chris of witness tampering?
Yes, they're. Oh, you should see what they're doing with poor Chris. You know, put yourself in that situation. I know. Here's the headline right here: CNN suspends Chris Cuomo indefinitely. Now the man indefinitely. Now you know Chris Cuomo was pulling in at least $4 million, the minimum $4 million, being on CNN, the minimum.
You think so? Really?
No,
oh,
his,
yeah.
His ratings were not that high. No. He
you don't
was
think
the highest
so?
Rated anchor on CNN, but he wouldn't get 4 million views a night. That I'm sure of.
No, I meant dollars. That is a salary. You,
oh,
I think
oh,
he's
oh,
worth.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I think at least 4 million.
No,
yeah,
I don't
but
think
he was the highest rated on CNN, but his numbers
no.
are not that great.
Right.
CNN's
right.
also ratings went down, and if he had a contract signed. That was before the ratings went down. He got fairly high, $4 million. I don't even think. Well, Limbaugh got it, but
I'm guessing. I don't. Let's see what Chris.
Okay.
I'm gonna see what he's worth. Let me see what he's really worth. But I'm assuming.
And what's his face? Limbaugh got a lot, but nobody else. I don't think anybody else is getting past $2 million. But I'm speculating.
Really?
Oh,
yeah, me too.
Getting way more than that. Way more. Tucker Carlson is the number one rated anchor on outside of, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS on cable news today. He's definitely number one.
On cable? Who is
yeah,
that?
On cable, absolutely. He's the number one anchor. Not anchor, but opinion
Sarge.
Commentator.
Who is it? Who is it the one you're talking about?
Tucker. Fox News.
Number
Tucker Carlson? No, Tucker Carlson?
In the rating.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear what he said.
Well Cuomo is worth $9 million. He is one of the highest paid news anchor on CNN, as Sarge was saying, as he earns an annual salary around $2.5 million. So he's $2.5 million.
There you go.
A year. Yeah. That's kind of low. I mean, there's people on podcasts that makes more than that shit. That's low.
It's
but,
CNN, baby. What do you want, man?
Yeah.
Come on.
I hear you, man.
Their numbers don't warrant him getting any higher than that unless it's being subsidized by Soros and his ilk.
Right. Well, it says here he owns a home in Southampton, New York, so that's going bye-bye. I mean, what would you sacrifice? I mean, he's got to be smarter than that. He has to be smarter than that. I mean, would you do that for your brother, to sacrifice your career, your livelihood? I mean, don't you have a responsibility to your family? I mean, you know your brother's in some hot shit. He's a hot potato. You're on the air as an anchor. Everybody's looking at you. What you do, you're under a microscope here, and you do this shit? Here it is. CNN has suspended primetime anchor Chris Cuomo indefinitely, pending further evaluation. They're not evaluating shit. They're seeing social media, Twitter, whatever, how people, they're just getting the feel of how people feel about him. But here it is. It says, after new documents reveal the cozy and improper nature of his relationship with aides to his brother, Andrew Cuomo, they benched the anchorman, and Tuesday announcement about the suspension was the equivalent of a cable news shockwave. Cuomo's 9 p.m. program is frequently CNN's most watched hour, as you said, of the day. He is a larger-than-life presence at the network, and he was determined to stay on TV this year despite a flurry of sexual misconduct allegations against his brother. Which made up of
communinated.
Okay, we're checking out. You're so good. What the hell? Get off the air, you bastard.
Yeah, tell me something, Brian.
You got me right.
This story broke.
You uneducated motherfucker. Get off the air.
This story broke in the UK Daily Mail a couple of days ago. Now, you think that CNN would have suspended him or covered it over like a cat covering day-old poop in a litter box? Hell no. But I tell you, it's poetic justice because these bastards are being hoist on their own petard, and it's quite satisfying to see. They created this atmosphere with the support of the fourth wave feminism and the Me Too movement, all this crap.
Right.
And now they're caught up in it, and nobody could deserve it more than people of their ilk. And I got to agree with you in one sense, Brian. Brian, I agree with you in this respect. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that masculinity is being considered as toxic when no such thing is possible. Masculinity cannot be toxic. It is simply the state of being masculine. Now, there are people who are toxic, and there are people who are toxic and may be masculine, but masculinity itself intrinsically can never be toxic. It's a term, it's a contradictory term, but it is a useful term for these idiots on the left in their attempt to transmogrify the relationships between men and women and place favored groups in positions of power and in power positions, positions of dominance in the culture in an attempt to remake it. That's all this is. And I don't like the Cuomos. Both of them are loathsome. But the point of the matter is they are caught up in everything this leftist cabal is making today. Everything is subject to a questioning. Everything is subject to critical theorizing. There is nothing, there's no aspect of human nature and human life they are not willing to remake to suit their totalitarian agenda, and this is just one more manifestation of it. Too bad for them. Too bad, so sad, but you deserved it, you no good mother... Yeah.
And that's our unbiased commentary.
That's the Brian Jackson commenter.
I'll say this much. I ain't going to lie. I'm not going to lie. I am biased as hell. I am a conservative. Make no bones about it. I ain't no Republican. I can't stand him either. But I'm just telling you, I'm a conservative. Make no bones about it. But I will not lie. I will not distort. I will be as factual as I know how to be. And then I'll extrapolate my opinions from that. And I wish more people would do the same. I don't care about their biases. Just don't lie to me. Mm-hmm. Don't distort.
Right. But you are, and I do agree with you. You used a trigger word, cabal, but we'll cue that out for a little bit, and we'll talk about the other stuff. Women, the millennials, we were at fault when we started buying into everybody gets a trophy, anticipation trophy and all this stuff, and helping, and nobody's special, everybody's equal. And so these millennials grew up to be in power positions with that in mind, and how to treat women and how to treat this, and this is why we're fucked up. There are hardly any men around anymore. I mean, I'm talking men. A man that says, "Hey, look,
I think there are, but they have to be careful because the law not only extends itself to HR and the private sector, but it extends itself to your household. If you actually raise your voice, and this is before the Me Too movement ever reached prominence, if you raised your voice, she could, after you raised your voice a few times, actually call the cops and have the cops." Go to court and have an injunction against you just for raising your voice and claim it was domestic violence. So there's plenty of men around who want to, express their masculinity, express the fact that women just can't get away with all the shit that they are. But if the law is on the female side and she knows about it, she's got the blue brotherhood no matter where she goes. She can have no biological brothers, but she can have 10,000-20,000 brothers throughout the United States. So it's hard to be a man while at the same time you've got women who are trained to be bitches. Oh, and by the way, hello, Ellen. And I don't mean to say that because I said bitch. I just didn't say hello to you before.
If you want to know, all you got to do is consult your everyday standard intersectionality chart to see where you're going to rank in any modern-day social dispute. Simply consult the intersectionality chart, see where you rank, and then you compute what your odds are of prevailing.
From state to state, probably, right?
Of course it does. Yeah. But, as a general rule, these this principle goes across, cuts across the board. I mean, everything is about intersectionality, critical theory, reimagining this, that, and the other, social relationships, social constructs, you name it. And a lot of people are missing the forest for the trees.
Well, you're right. I agree with you. But the reality is that we went to the other side of making women comfortable, getting women into equal rights, civil rights, whatever rights you want, women rights. We went way to the other side. I mean, now, if a woman feels uncomfortable, you're in trouble. I mean, you can lose your house. You can lose. You know, it's funny. When I talk to women about this, they look at me like you're a sexist pig. I said, you have sons, and you have a husband, and you have a nice house, you know, middle class, whatever. Some woman any day can, your husband goes to work and can say something with any allegations that are not true. You lose everything. I don't understand why more women don't come down on these so-called, I don't know what you want to call these women. I call them
harpies,
lottery ticket winners.
Harpies, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Because
I'll tell you one reason. Yeah, okay.
I don't understand because they have sons and they have husbands and uncles and seem like women. I understand fair is fair, but some of these allegations and these men are losing. Look at all these men for the last 2 or 3 years have lost their CEO positions or owner of companies and basketball teams. Look at Gruden, for Christ's sake. He got fired because he said that this black athlete had lips like radio tires. And then everybody said that he's racist and he lost his job. I mean, for just saying that he has lips like radio tires, you lose your job, and now he's a racist, and they fired him from the NFL.
Yeah, 10 years ago?
10 years ago. You're right, Sarge. This was 10 years ago in an email, and he lost his job.
Meantime, outfits like the NBA support slave labor in China. These people are despicable. I don't have any respect for them whatsoever.
They don't give a shit
about Joe, you were just saying, you know, harpies. You were using the term harpies. Look, harpies are like useful idiots, okay? They don't really know much. They're simply bought into the zeitgeist of the time and are using it to obtain a personal advantage. I'm concerned about the ideologues who are impelling and powering all of this. They are the elites amongst us. This first came to my notice with a rather well-known late fourth-wave feminist, a third-wave feminist, named Andrea Dworkin. Remember her? Andrea Dworkin posited quite famously once that all, repeat, without qualification, all sexual intercourse is rape. It is inherently rape owing to the nature of male sexual aggression is not the word, male sexual inclination.
The patriarchal system. Yeah, aggression.
Yeah,
She
wasn't just making it as an aside. She was serious, and a great many feminists who are in the mode of forming this sort of opinion, this sort of mindset, they were heavily influenced by Andrea Dworkin.
You know,
I don't
you might
know
be
the
right.
name, but I do remember the statement, but I don't remember the author.
It wasn't an aside. She was serious. She meant it as it sounded.
That's not surprising. Did you ever see the video where they have the other feminist? There's a feminist young who said, of course, that all problems were done by men, and her solution was chemical castration of all men, regardless of whether they have they committed a crime, looked at a woman or not, because every single problem, probably even the period, was done by men.
The period.
Look, man, we got to understand, please let us not lose sight of this. This is why I'm glad you brought this up, Brian, because you're using two particularly odious examples, the Cuomo brothers, in order to make the point. You don't consider principle, objective principle, and objective truth by the virtue or lack of it of the people involved in a particular situation. The principles, to me, are much more important. And the principle here is that the idea of masculinity itself is under assault. Men and women
yes.
are not the same. They are different. Men
right.
have a different style by their nature. We just got to stop pretending that there isn't a significant difference in personality between men and women, in inclination and traits. I'm speaking generally, I'm not speaking in specifics of specific individuals, as a rule across the board. And this is what is impelled, by the way, this human nature, which is the nature of women and the nature of men, is what has created the almost universal institution of patriarchy. It doesn't matter where you go in the world. It differs by degrees, of course, depending upon the culture. But patriarchy has been found to be the most natural labor of human division and human social construction. It doesn't. You can't blame it on capitalism. You can't blame it on the American work ethic. You can't blame it on anything. Everywhere you go in the world, patriarchy's reigned supreme for millennia. And there's a reason for it, because women get pregnant and need to have children. That's why. That's why.
Well,
because men have greater upper body strength, and they're better
right.
at hunting long distances at game. You know, and you've got to divide labor, which was important for human survival. It made sense. Also, you need to protect the tribe from outside encroachment. That's why patriarchy
True.
Developed the way it did. But now, because we live in a new age, and
mm-hmm.
particularly we got all these Marxists running around, poisoning everything like they do everywhere in their attempt to transform society and remake it with what a great reset or the great globalist, whatever. This is one more critical aspect of society that needs to be altered, and it needs to be altered radically according to their lights. And
well,
we're witnessing it everywhere we go.
Yeah, men got to start speaking up, and women got to start backing men up. You know, speaking of what you were talking about, rape and sexuality, blah, 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 right now, as we're speaking, abortion is right now the conversation in Supreme Court right now about abortion. And the left is up in arms and the right people abortion. You know, I'm beginning to change the way I think. I used to think it's women have a right to have an abortion. But I was always thinking of the woman. I was never thinking of the human that's inside her. And hear me out. And I started thinking, I mean, say, you know, that poor child, and there's an argument, and I don't want to get to the argument, when is a child in conception or 8 weeks, 15 weeks, whatever. I don't want to get into that argument. But let's just go with, it's a human inside of you. And to exterminate that human, it's murder. I mean, I started thinking about this this week. I mean, I always felt women had the right to have an abortion. I thought that woman's choice, woman's body, woman this, whatever. Then I started thinking how many men out there, and the silent men, and this is the problem we're having, men are silent. How many men are out there saying, I don't want you to have an abortion. I want to have that kid. And the woman decides, no, I'm going to get an abortion, and it's done. No, he has no say-so. He has no input in this situation or the decision. And I'm thinking, how many men out there have had that happen to them? I want to be a father. That's my son. Okay, we can go into, women will bring it up. What about rape and incest and this? Okay, I understand that. But can't you still carry the kid and give it up for adoption? That's why we have, I don't know if they have orphanages anymore, but you get what I'm saying. Even the fire department is saying, leave your baby here. Don't kill your baby. I understand.
Well, I tell you, Brian, I think we could distill this whole thing when you consider the matter of abortion as a choice, which I never have for a long time. And I used to be a big abortions provider because I can have all this fun and not have to bear any responsibility. Great. I
right.
used to miss the lady. Hey, get rid of that thing there, that unviable tissue mass forming in your womb.
Right.
It don't mean nothing to me. But, you know, here's how you can distill all of this down to a really simple equation or a formula. Every single successful abortion, without exception, ends a human life. And not only
right.
a human life, a completely innocent one. They can't get
right.
around it, and when you say things like that to them, they go nuts.
Right.
Then they start talking about rape and incest and all. And I say, well, okay, I'll tell you what. Is a human being conceived in rape or incest a lesser human being than one conceived in love? Just tell me. Do I have a lesser standard to live and a less right to life than someone is conceived in a marriage, a loving marriage? No. They have the same, precisely the same intrinsic value. So even I'm not swayed by even that argument.
You know,
principle, objective truth, I think, is more important than all these other things. Now, they want to limit abortion to, rape and incest. At least that'll be maybe, 2 or 3% of all abortions then? At least
right.
97% of the human beings that are butchered in abortion clinics will not be, okay? But I'm not going to pretend that makes it more palatable simply because the child being butchered was not conceived in love.
I hear you, and it's ugly. It is ugly. It's brutal. It is just vile to think that, okay, I'm going to give birth to a baby that is incestuous relationship or rape. I did think that, but I haven't really thought of the human life aspect of it. And as I was dating, as a young guy and going on, I have been with women who said they had 2 or 3 abortions. I'm sure all of us have known somebody who had at least 2 or 3. And I'm looking at the girl and going, why are you having 2 or 3 abortions? And as the same woman that says that evening, I don't like to use condoms because I'm allergic to, I'm allergic to them. So you're not using birth control at all? No, I'm not. But yet you had 2 or 3, and it goes back to that girl. How many of these people are using abortion as birth control? I mean, it's ugly to really look at it.
Let me ask you a question, Brian.
I'm disagreeing with Sarge about the intrinsic value of a baby. A baby conceived out of love is one thing, where the parents can take care of this child throughout the life of the child from the time the baby is born to 21 years of age, 31, 41, et cetera. When a baby has been conceived as a result of rape, and the rape isn't performed the way that it's in the movies, a lot of rapes are very, very brutal. The woman is beaten up, noses are broken, and Sarge, as a cop, you probably know this better than I do. Teeth are shattered, jaws are shattered, and the psyche of the woman is shattered. For her to take a look at that child and to be forced to come to term with that child that she did not want, was imposed upon her, put into her body. Yes, that particular baby, in order to save itself from the suffering that generally, as you like to say, across the board, they're going to grow up extremely unhappy. Save the baby. Exterminate the baby. Is it murder? Could be justifiable homicide. So my particular feeling is that, yes, how a baby is conceived will not impose upon it. I guess some people could say it's imposed upon it, the value of the baby. Because, again, the parents, the mother in particular, has to take care of that baby if society forces her to. So I say exterminate the baby for the sake of the
baby. No.
Well,
I disagree with you,
so.
Joe, I disagree with you. And here's how I can disagree with you. Sure, there's a lot of women. I usually don't do this. And I'm very serious. If there's any ladies out there who are listening, please call in the show. If you thought about having an abortion but you didn't, or if there's any men out there who's been accused of sexual harassment and you lost your job, please call in. I'd like to hear your story. Because right now we're just going by what we hear or other things. I'd like to know what's really going on out there. The number to call in is 319-527-6099. Again, the number to call is
319-527-6099.
I really like to hear their views, especially if you're a man and you've been accused of sexual...
I'm calling in!
And you already called in! I was
fired because of harassment.
I think you say he is a victim there, Brian.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but Joe's up in the air. I put in a jury. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Joe has his own rape room.
If you ever wonder whether or not a child newly conceived is actually human, then all you got to do is ask yourself this question. where you or anyone you love, admire, and respect were at the stage of life along your continuum of life from the moment of your conception until now, were any of you at that stage of life where you were aborted? And you have to say the answer is yes. So it is clear that that child is every bit as much human as you are. It's just at an earlier stage.
I see.
There's
that's
no doubt about that, Sarge. The thing is, it's the philosophical aspect related to whether or not that baby should be born or should not be born, according to my premise, as to whether or not that child is going to grow up to be happy. I have also had these conversations in which I've asked people, do you think, how many people, if they lived until the age of 90, 80, 70, whatever the term was, and if they were asked by angels when they died and went to some of that mythical place in the sky that people call heaven, ruled by a so-called God. But if somebody were to ask them, you can go back to Earth and relive everything that you've done before the same way. Would you do it?
Hell
no. I'll bet you at least 60% would say, fuck no. Hell no. Even the ones who supposedly had a good life on this planet. So that's why I say abortion. I'm not defending abortion for the normal reasons. I'm saying that the child will be miserable. I'm going to subjectively throw out this percentage. 90% of those who were conceived out of rape or who were conceived out of complacency by the women who wanted a check will grow up to be miserable and will not adjust to society. And why should they? They're going to be traumatized just about every day of their childhood. So for
well,
them,
I don't know.
Well, that's okay.
The reason I will assert that is because the options are there. Not like old school. The options are you probably won't even get to see the baby. Sometimes if you carry that baby and you found a paper, I don't want this baby, it's already, you signed the right paperwork that you're giving up for adoption. As soon as they're born, you probably don't even see the baby. They take the baby and they take it away from you. You don't even get to nurse the baby. So I don't think that you're forced to live with that child. I believe that the options is that you can give it away to a home.
All right, but I'm not saying it's true. I agree with you. But what about the baby itself? How many babies that you, how many people that you know who were adopted have wanted to, desperately in their hearts, wanted to search for their adopted, not their adopted, but their biological mother and father? Even though they're adoptive.
Well,
mothers and fathers.
Right.
Great.
But I would have to go with the percentage, Joe. Do. I would say 2% maybe. I'm not a doctor. I'm just
2%?
Guessing. I would say 2% of adoptions have to do with an incestuous relationship or rape. I'm just saying. Nowadays, would you have to and I'm saying the majority of those adoptions are parents. The parents cannot take care of the child. I would think the majority of those adoptions and they give away the child is because of you're too young or the not because of an abortion. It's because they
I'm
can't take care of the child.
I'm not talking about the motive of the girls. I'm talking about the state of mind of the poor baby who's given away. To a foster home or to orphanages.
Well,
has to bump around from foster home to foster home. When you talk to them,
But is that excuse to kill them?
Do not seem like
but Jill, you're talking about a mercenary killing that's saying, you know what, I don't want you to live
I'm
in a traumatic
mercy killing. I am. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
You're
mercy
talking about a mercy
killing.
I don't know.
Ellen, what do you, let's hear a girl. Ellen, what do you believe about that?
But look, guys, look, the argument that Joe just presented is the only one that I think has any viability in the rape question, this whole abortion controversy. It is the only one I have considered that would be a valid reason for it. I've really thought an awful lot about it, and I will agree with Joe's general premise that it is unlikely a child conceived in rape is going to wind up having a fruitful, productive, and happy life. However, that does not mean, as you said, Brian, the option should not be considered for that child. There are people such as Eartha Kitt, who was conceived in a rape, who wound up having a pretty fruitful and productive life and provided a great deal of joy to many people in the world. I save example after example after example after example after example. I have literally hundreds of them that I say whenever this argument comes up of people who were conceived and raped, whose mothers elected to retain these children and raise them and wound up being happy for the decision they made. I'm not saying it's typical. I don't believe it is. I want to make that clear. I'm saying that it is not outside the realm of possibility or actuality that that child could be every bit as productive and happy as any other child raised in any other home. And I think that it is us, if we are going to be principled about the value of human life, we need to give every one of these human beings an option to discover that possibility.
I agree.
And I'm thinking about human life as well. Oh,
you can go with Richard Pryor. How about Richard Pryor, who was brought up in a brothel? How about Maya Angelou? I mean, we could go with all these people who are very creative, who are not brought up in the right conditions. But to take but a mercy killing without giving a child a chance, I'm on the fence. How about you, Ellen? Oh, I thought she was here. Ellen?
Here.
Okay.
No, yeah.
What do you think, Ellen? Ellen, as a woman, I'm going to put you in a situation, because the argument here is, can a woman love or give birth to a child? Doesn't matter how it was conceived. Let's say it was conceived in incest or rape. Can a woman see that child as an innocent life and not equate it with the trauma that consummated that child? Can she just see the child as a child?
I don't think so. I don't think so,
really?
Because she'll be going through everything that happened to her, you know. But like I've been saying, there are options, you know. I mean, there's adoption, you know. There's a lot of couples out there that can't have.
Even if you want to make. Sorry, Ellen. Go ahead.
No, I'm saying there are a lot of couples out there that can't have children.
Like I said, I have read, again, I know it is unlikely, and I'm not trying to claim it is typical, but I have read of numerous women who have been happy that they made the choice to carry their child through the term, and not only that, not just give it up for adoption, raise the child, and find happiness with that child.
Right.
It's very heartwarming to read those stories, and again, I don't think they're typical. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying they exist. And they're out there. There are legions of them.
But how many, and Sarge, going with your point, how many women out there that are going to give birth and the doctor says there's something wrong with your baby? Whether he's autistic.
Sarah Palin did it. But she did. I mean, her child had Down syndrome, and they told her. She said, I'm still having this baby.
Right. Right. And let's just say a woman goes, you know what, I can't afford the medical bills, I don't have the, whatever the reason is, and she says, kill it. So now you're killing an innocent baby because he has a situation. Ellen, is that a viable reason for an abortion, you think? That, you know, your child is going to need special care for the rest of his life. It's going to cost a lot of money to do it and a lot of care. And you're going to live in a situation where he will not be a normal child. Would you go to the point of saying at the option?
Yeah, I probably would, you know, because most of the time insurance and everything will not cover what is wrong with a baby. And then these parents are saddled with all these medical bills, you know, and a lot of marriages break up because of that.
Yeah.
And let's not forget, when the people reporting their stories about, we have special kids, but our child is a special child because it's a special child, or if they're talking about how happy they were when they had the child and raised the child, even though the child was created out of either incest or rape, they're doing so, you have to take into consideration, because they don't want to seem like ogres
by telling the public, I wish I never had the kid. I wish I never had the opportunity to have this child around me 24/7. Because,
right.
again, they would look like despicable parents.
Right.
You have parents
right.
who are so-called normal, who have kids who are born without any kind of deficiencies, and they want to get rid of their fucking kids. They wish they didn't have them.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah, Joe, but look, I would not compel any woman whose child has been conceived in rape or incest to carry that child and to care for that child. I would not. I would never do it, ever.
Oh,
I would encourage her to have the child and give it up for adoption, however, and I think the state should make those resources available so it can be done.
I agree.
I wouldn't
I don't think,
either, but I would
I don't think that's
a
good reason. If a woman comes into the studio and tells me a hard luck story about she's been raped, and this or incest and everything, and she had to give the baby up for abortion because I couldn't stand to look at the kid or remind me of the trauma that I went through, I would kind of look at her as a murderer. It's not good enough for me because the options are there. You can carry the child. It's a life. I understand you don't want to have that child in your life, but give the child a chance to live. That's where I stand. There's no, and I changed, and I wasn't used to being that way.
That's,
I started hearing this abortion
thing. That's what
I think.
Yeah. You know, that's what I think about these women who they get one after the other. You know, why? Okay, if you don't want kids right now, put it up for adoption.
And don't forget the other mothers who keep having kids because they can go on welfare and get more money. They use kids as a financial aid.
Well, Brian, I'm going to tell you something, Brian. I mean, I don't like to interject personal stories into too much. My 19-year-old granddaughter, who I have raised now, she lives with me now. You know, mm-hmm. She's going to a community college here in the area where I live in right now, whom I love
right.
dearly, who I have a profoundly wonderful relationship with. She was conceived in statutory rape. And my daughter was going to have her aborted, and I talked her out of it. And now I've been stuck with her for 19 years, but I don't regret one single day of it. Not one. Not one. So I'm just saying that when people say these things, I personally, I put my money where my mouth is, and I believe everything I'm saying. And look, you look at Eartha Kitt. She was raised in rape, conceived in rape. Zahara Jolie Pitt, Jesse Jackson, Lynn Beachley, Kelly Wright, Faith Daniels, Nell Carter, Janet Sheen, Ethel Waters, Valerie Gatto. All of these people who are now celebrities were conceived in rape. People have options and possibilities. You should not deny an innocent human being the opportunity to make the most of the opportunities and the possibilities they have simply by the inalienable right of life.
Yeah, you know,
and I wonder how many of them.
It's an absolute for me, and I do not believe in violating it wherever possible.
You know,
people, when I say these things, people look at me and say, well, you've killed people in combat. Yeah, I have. But they weren't innocent.
Right.
Neither was I. I wasn't.
Right.
I was a combatant. If they'd killed me,
right.
they'd had every right to, because I was trying to kill them. I'm talking about innocent people.
Innocence, yes. But we also have to take into consideration whether or not those children would actually be happy. And let's take a look at the mothers. How many of those mothers that you've named have gone to psychiatrists as a result of the trauma and the birth of the child that came afterwards? First off, we can't assume that just because they've achieved that they were happy. You can take a look at Stephen Hawking. He achieved. But I bet you he would give up his 180 IQ, his achievements in theoretical physics, just to play baseball.
Well, I tell you, Joe, you raise an issue that is a dilemma for me. Every time it comes up, I got to admit, it does put me in a bit of a quandary. But I look at a hierarchy of wrongs here. And the wrong done to the woman, I think, in my opinion, is far outdone by the wrong done to the human being that gets butchered, gets cooked in a saline solution, or chopped into pieces and sucked out with a vacuum cleaner. I'm sorry, I just think that, and if that sounds callous, I'm sorry, it's just going to have to. In the hierarchy of wrongs, I'm going to assign my own form of intersectionality.
You know, I can take you back into a time, and it's a vile medieval time, and I rarely will bring this up. You listen to the show. When we talk about abortion, can you imagine the slaves or the massa was raping the slave women, and a lot of these slave women were married to another slave, and she's pregnant. And Massa will go there and cut her stomach open and kill the baby, or some will have it, but knowing that she got pregnant by the Massa, the slaves still loved her, and they loved the baby. Think about that for a minute. I mean, raping was going up. Raping was constant. As soon as you bought a woman, you got to rape her. You know what I'm saying?
I've had my
saying?
DNA analysis done, Brian, by three different firms. I got a pretty good idea of its likelihood.
Well, my last name is Jefferson, but I had to change it to Jackson. Damn him! And he became president.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I mean, yeah. You know what? Look, like I said, you know, a wrong is a wrong, but I don't think you undo a wrong by committing a greater wrong. And I think it is always, pretty much always, a greater wrong to take an innocent life. I'm sorry. I'm going to always think that way now. Now that I've gotten past being an advocate, an enthusiastic advocate for unlimited abortion. I was at one point in my life.
It's going on right now, and I know some people in Texas, it's already happened in Texas, and I know it's happening right now as the Supreme Court is talking about it, but lately I've been talking about human life versus your right to have the abortion, and I'm thinking about the innocent kid. I know I changed. Right, it's about me. But Ellen, I just want a woman's point of view. There are babies who are born addicted to drugs. Do we abort them? There are kids who are not have some kind of, I hate to say it, defunction, but, you know, there are kids who have some kind of situation. Do we abort them? And if we do abort them, I mean, are we unnecessarily killing a human being for the sake of your own comfort? I mean, why don't you just, and if you know, and what about the woman? I'm thinking about people held accountable. You know that you're going to get pregnant, or there's a chance you get, let's forget about rape and incest for a minute, because the majority of the people who are getting abortions is probably for convenience, and I hate to say it, it's a bad word. It's out of convenience for them. And I know that's mean. I'm going to be the only one to say it. We all know the truth. Can't take care of the baby. I'm not right to have a baby. I don't like the father. My parents told me if I have this baby on there. Whatever the reason is. I'm thinking the majority of the reasons why I have abortion is for convenience. Ellen, if you had a situation where you found out your kid was you got pregnated by a serial killer, and they arrested him, Charles Manson got you pregnant, would you have the baby?
And then I would put it up for adoption.
She put it in the
circuit.
She
bought
money. No, I have little Mansons running around. Yeah, hey, you probably named the kid Junior. Hey, Charlie.
Charlie Junior.
Yeah, little Junior. Hey, good morning.
You know, Brian, I'm looking at a study from the Guttmacher Institute. It was done in 2010. And this is the reason they say most women cite for having an abortion. It definitely ain't rape and incest. 74%
right.
Said they couldn't afford a baby now.
Right.
73% said, among other reasons, you know, these reasons were listed in order of importance. So that's why the numbers
right.
might seem to be, you know. 73% said they couldn't afford a baby. 73% said they did not want to be a single mother or they're having problems with their relationship. That was 48% of them. Nearly 4 in 10 women, who most of whom were married, said they had completed their childbearing and did not want any more, and they didn't want any more children. Fewer than 1% said their parents or parents' desire for them to have an abortion was the most important reason. So we know this is not rape, incest, is not the reason cited most often. I think most abortions, in fact, are done by on women who are married.
Right.
So
or
let's
very
be
young.
Honest about it. They like to throw the rape and incest exception up there as being typical. You almost think it was typical because it's almost the first thing the pro-abortion crowd throws up in order to inhibit you. It's the first thing they toss up to you. And it's the exception.
That's what I was saying.
The great
That's
exception.
What I'm saying.
I mean, a tiny minority of the reasons given for abortion.
Right.
I'd like to ask you guys a question. If, for example, there were very accurate surveys and statistics that were compiled, very well done according to the scientific method, done by honest researchers, and 90% of all the kids who were not aborted but were adopted, if 90% stated and could be shown that they lived miserable lives, would you still have the same opinion?
Yes. Yes, I would. You know why I would, Joe? Because they had a life. They had a chance. And that's all we're asking. Oh, I don't know. All of us, as human beings, we got a chance to do something great or we have a chance to do something wrong. I'm saying you give life a chance and play the odds. But if you take it away, if you kill them, they have no chance at all, no chance of hope or survival or anything. So I say yes. If they said to me, they said, Mr. Jackson, I go, yeah, your wife's going to give birth. I go, okay, I'm responsible. Well, your kid is going to come out, you know, being a doofus and a rapist and a serial killer. He has the DNA. I go, Well, do you want to abort it? I go, no, we call it family. If he has a chance. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
I'm saying you've got to fight for that. Hi, Miss Lisa.
They've lived there.
Or 786. Is it Miss Lisa? 786?
Yeah, it's Miss Lisa, 786. But I got a rider. I got a rider, so I'm going to talk in a minute.
Okay, kiddo, whenever you can. I'm just saying, now I know if I got Ellen pregnant, she won't even wait to get an abortion. She'll probably stab herself to death. But other than that, get it out! Get it out!
She ought to stab you to death. What'd you do with stabbing herself?
I know she would. She'll coat hanger me. Leave the child coat hanger that bastard.
I don't know. Take her coat, rip it out. The thing is, if 90% of them said they already got their chance, Brian, they've lived 21 years, 41 years, 61 years, and they've been miserable. If 90% of them said that I led a life that was miserable, who besides them would have the right to say, you know what, so what? So 90% of you live miserable lives. At least you had the chance to live, but you live miserable lives, so what? No. If they could do it over again and they said no, I would say it's a good choice.
Hey, I look at the positive. Hey, at least 3% was pretty damn good.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, I mean, that's an argument. But that's literally to say that a child conceived in rape or abortion might have a lousy life is an argument not to be born at all, because many of us born in love have lousy lives.
That's true.
I mean, it's the luck of the draw, man. It's, you know, none of us are going to get out of this life alive anyway. We all know that from the beginning.
Well,
every day we live, we're closer to our death.
That's right. But the question is...
But, you know, that doesn't mean you don't roll the dice and make the best of it you can.
You can, but the question is, Sarge, whether or not these people, if they had the right, if they wanted to do it over again, would they? Today in America and the United States, they actually have agencies to help people because so many of them are committing suicide, taking opioids, don't give a fuck if they're taking fentanyl or not because they're miserable. Just like, who was it? Was it Longfellow, Thoreau? I think it was Thoreau who said, people lead lives of quiet desperation. And when you take a look at the technology today, people are absolutely doing that. Forget about the technology. Forget about all the so-called opportunities. People today, are miserable. You have a survey. One out of every six persons want to commit suicide. In America,
yeah.
I think it's America. It's about the same thing. So I'm saying abortion is not a bad remedy, especially if you've been traumatized by having your body invaded by somebody else giving you this particular child that you don't want. Now, I think you guys know that and this is against general policy, men and women should have contracts. Baby, what happens if you get pregnant? Well, I'll have the abortion. Okay, I'm with that. Now, if she does get pregnant and then she says, I don't want the abortion, I think the man should take her to court and soak her dry of all the money she's got, just like she would soak him dry.
Yeah, you are so callous. That wouldn't work, and I'll tell you why. And this is where the women in the audience have to help me out. It's change when you become pregnant. I don't know. Maybe in the beginning you're thinking, I don't want a child. It's whatever reason you think you don't want a child. But once you become pregnant, you start changing. It's a life growing, counting on you. And you change your attitude towards life and love. I don't think a contract before you're pregnant would work, because she has the right to change your mind. So therefore, you're going to be in court a lot.
Well, she has the right to change your mind. She doesn't have the right to do this.
Right to change your mind.
Then,
I didn't first want to have me, but now I felt the baby's part of me and blah blah. You know the deal.
Deal. I know, but. And it's against general policy, because that's what lawyers would say. Well, but there have been issues which have changed so-called general policy. I'm thinking of the life of the child, not just the life when the child is born.
But you're condemning that child already into a miserable life. And that kid may not have a miserable life. Maybe he gets adopted by some gay couple and he ends up writing a play and he becomes some gay actor. I don't know,
but the money,
they need a chance.
Not equate happiness. I'm saying if 90% of them have already lived their lives, the statistical information, and they say, no, I would not want to be born, that is very, very good argument for saying, you know what, abortion is a pretty good remedy.
Ooh. Well, I'll tell you what, Joe,
Because I lived a miserable life.
It's absolutely miraculous that we are lucky enough to live in a country whose primary founding document says you have the inalienable right to pursue happiness. Think about it.
Yes.
What other country in the history of mankind prior to that time would make such a statement? I think that is so valuable. That principle, that notional principle espoused in the United States founding makes compelling the reason to allow people to exercise the possibility of
it. I like the other document for women. You're allowed, you have the right to remain silent. I love that one too. You're absolutely right. All right. Let's get to work, because I got some people on Facebook. Are you going to talk about Cuomo or not? Okay. Yes. I mean, my God. I just want to get this abortion thing out of control, because right now the Supreme Court is talking about it. And women are thinking about, well, it's about my rights. Well, no, it's not about your rights. It's about human life. This is what we're – there's two different things they're arguing about. It's like, well, it's my right to choose. And it says, well, yeah, it's your right to choose, but it's also the baby have the right to live. And they're not looking at that baby as a human being. They're just looking at it as a product of rape and incest.
Yeah, but Brian, but they're taking away all of a woman's rights. They're saying that you can't even, they're saying that the only way is out of a bad situation. Okay, so parents are supposed to be saddled if they know that baby's not going to live because of the medical problems that it has. What are they supposed to do?
So you have the right to kill it? The
that's my point. Do you have the right to kill it? It's your choice. It's a matter of convenience.
No, it's not a matter of convenience, Brian. If that baby doesn't have a chance to live anyway, why are you going to put both the mother and the child through the trauma of carrying that baby?
Well, if she can have a baby, my argument is if the baby can be born without jeopardizing her health, I give that exception. But if it's a baby may have some problems on birth, you're still killing a human being because of your convenience, because you can't afford to pay for this, or you don't have the responsibility to pay for this, or you're too young to have a baby. It's a matter of convenience for me. That's what I'm.
No, I'm saying that they're even trying to take away the right. You know, no, if parents know that something is wrong with it and it won't survive, they're saying,
well, still,
you know,
give birth to it and let it die. Carry it to a Yes, I'm changing, and I believe that. I believe that, you know, there's always odds of, how many stories have you heard? There was odds that I would never walk again, or odds that I would never talk again. There's always odds here. And if that's everything is crystal ball, what do you call it? We think this is going to happen, or the odds, or it's going to happen. It doesn't mean it's going to. No, I'm just saying give life a chance. And if it is, like the baby does die in 3 or 4 days, you did the best you could. You gave the baby a chance, and maybe you had the days of love, and you held that baby.
Yeah, okay,
but you're also running up
fallacious bills.
Again, that's odds of convenience.
Can't pay for.
Well,
no,
you know what?
It's not.
So you're going to kill it so you don't have to pay the bill?
No,
I can't afford
this.
Kill it. I can't afford this baby. Kill it.
You know what?
My baby daddy doesn't love me. Kill the baby. I'm too young.
Elise
kill the baby.
Trying to talk. Elise is trying to talk.
You know,
is she? I can't hear her.
I think Brian is very hilarious. I love you, Brian.
I love you too, baby.
You know, Ellen, I side with you in a sense, and you know, because when a woman gets in her head, your baby is not going to live, right? The baby is not going to live, so you need to abort this child, right? So a woman, I'm going to give you two women. One woman, she aborts the child because she's told that this child is going to be blind at about that, right? But another woman, she's told, well, your baby is going to definitely have a 50% chance of living because birth defect. Because of the birth defect is so severe, this child is going to need operation after operation, so it may not survive. So what does she do? Do she abort the baby or does she carry the baby? For the woman that was told the baby's going to be blind, does she carry the baby or does she abort the baby? Well, out of convenience, the woman that had the blind baby aborts her baby because she don't want to deal with a child that has this disability. With the woman that has a 50-50% chance of her baby surviving, decides not to have the abortion just in case the baby lives. So at the end of the day, it's the woman who's making this choice for her body, but is it always the right choice for the baby?
Yes.
Because baby that had the 50-50% chance died anyway. So should the mom have aborted that baby? Was it wrong for her to do that because she was being selfish? She wanted to have this baby anyway. Was the mom that aborted the blind baby selfish because she didn't want to have a baby with a disability? See, these women make decisions for their and sometimes it's not the right decision. You know, I mean, I would have had a blind date. Whatever I had the abortion for the 53 campaign child, maybe not. Maybe not. That would have been a real tough decision. But when a person is just having babies willy-nilly, getting plan B, aborting babies because mommy don't want her child to be seen with this big belly, I mean, all these different reasonable reasons to abort a child, you know, it's not justifiable. Yeah, these kids can be put up for adoption, that blind baby. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's difficult. It's really difficult.
Hey, you know,
Brian,
Lisa,
have you not heard the stories of women who are pregnant and they have cancer? Cancer.
Right.
And
right.
The only option for their survival is chemotherapy. And they opt out of chemotherapy because of the possibility of damage to their developing child. These women literally give their lives for their unborn children.
Yeah.
Now, I am not saying that any woman should be compelled to do that. I think that is the only viable exception to allow an abortion. That is when a woman's physical health or her life will be threatened by a continued pregnancy, such as an ectopic pregnancy. So believe me, I am not saying that a woman should be compelled to carry a pregnancy under those conditions. I am simply saying that there are women who will literally sacrifice themselves for their unborn children.
Right.
And I think those women should be given the equivalent of the Medal of Honor for doing so.
Yeah.
And let me say another thing, too.
Yeah.
Let's say we take these exceptions to the rule, which admittedly are a tiny percentage of the overall abortions that are conducted. What about the other 97%, 98%? What about those normal pregnancies that have not interrupted would result in the birth of a viable child? What about those?
Right.
See, that's the But then the overall view is, does the government have the right to control a woman's body and mind? See, here's the other thing.
No.
You know, when the government is saying that you can't have this operation, you must carry this baby, or you must give birth to this punish you, and we're going to take away the doctor's license and everything. Does the government have the right to control a woman's body? That's the question.
No.
Well, do they have the right to stop her from engaging in prostitution? Apparently, most of them agree that they do.
They should not.
I mean, people say that the government, I mean, in almost every state, they accept the reality of prostitution, anti-prostitution laws. That's the right of a woman to determine what she does with her own body. But in this case, she's not determining what to do with her own body. She's doing the life of another body with a completely separate DNA structure.
Ooh,
it isn't her
good
body.
Point. Good point. See, that's a
it's
good
not her
point
appendix.
Right.
It's not like she's removing her appendix.
Right. Because now that's a human being. Does that human being have the right to live? What about the human being's civil rights? Good point.
Every single one of us living today, man or woman, has come through this way through the womb of a mother. There's no other way it works. It may be unfair, but that's nature. Blame Mother Nature. Don't blame us.
I blame the women. These women, you got to start closing your legs, ladies. All right.
For real, Brian.
I don't know.
Hey, let my son tell this. Without men, there would be no female. So therefore, there would be no kind of living human being without the man. So it's y'all's fault. Go ahead. There you go.
Well, it's our fault for making men because men carry the Y chromosome in the sperm cell. Women's eggs are always XX. Men carry the sex differentiation chromosome, so I guess you can blame it on men.
Blame it on men, huh? You know, if men have more rights.
I blame everything else on us. Why not? Hey, we're responsible for all the misery in the world, right?
Facetious charge, because women have the veto power. Unless they are raped and they know the consequences of their actions, and they spread open their legs, and if they allow the man not to get all wrapped up and then they get pregnant, they shouldn't blame the man. Yet at the same time, the man, knowing what the law is, he shouldn't impregnate the woman, because he's going to be held responsible for half his assets or whatever percentage that the law takes away from him. So both of them have responsibilities, but the woman is not held accountable.
See, that's the thing.
No,
see, if I was
the man is, no, at least not before pregnancy. Now, after pregnancy, under the law, both parents are accountable for the rearing and the well-being of the child. That's in theory, at least. After birth, parents are equally accountable for the child.
Well, equally, if you want to use core mathematics, there are instances in which, for example, celebrities were making $1 million a year. They were married, got divorced, had a child. Now the guy who's no longer on the A-list, he's making maybe, you know, $50,000, $100,000 a year because he's no longer on the A-list. He's taking these side jobs in order. He doesn't know what else to do. But the court, now this is in Canada primarily, the court is telling him, well, when you marry this woman and you gave birth, you were making $1 million a year. You are now, according to our law, compelled to pay the woman, according to the lifestyle that you've made for her, the same amount of child support, regardless of what your present salary is. Now, that's not equal.
You know what? I'm for that, Joe, and I used to be with you, and now I'm against you. Because let me tell you something. Men should be held accountable for this, and we're not. We have this pass where we can impregnate some woman, and then we leave her. We don't have any responsibility. Yeah, try to get me for child support. I have nothing. I'm not working. Therefore, fuck you. And we leave this woman with a baby. Men should be held more accountable than that. I wish they gave them more. You know, maybe if we start realizing holding men as an example of saying we're going to take your pay and we'll take your pay to the rest of your life, maybe other men will get the idea of saying, I am not going to do this without a condom. I'm going to be more responsible. I'm not going to be leaving babies everywhere. I mean, we're not a basketball player. It's not the NBA where there's babies all over the place. We got to be held more accountable.
Brian,
men should be held more accountable.
They, in some states, they do take their pay. It's called garnishing your wages.
Good.
And
I hope they do.
In a lot of states, if you get behind on your child support, they can take your driver's license and they can take.
Good.
You know,
I hope they take
everything.
Modern day debtor's prison. Child support is the only vestige of modern day debtor's prison.
Really? I did not know that. That's interesting, Sarge. Right, because in this country, you don't have a debtor.
I mean, technically speaking, they don't put you in jail for not paying child support. They put you in jail for contempt of court. You violated a court order saying you got to pay. But it's still debtor's prison because you didn't pay. It's a debt you owe. And it's like debtor's prison. It's the only debt you get jailed for these days.
Right. Because, we have to start thinking about the life. Okay, see, we're thinking about men, women, and what a bitch he is and what an idiot he is. But we're not thinking – I think the man should help care of that child that he created. Whether he loved the woman or not, he has a responsibility to make sure that child has every possibility as anyone and not run away from his responsibility.
I agree with that completely. Like I said, I love my granddaughter. And I'm glad I have raised her with my late wife, and we raised her, and she's really brilliant. She's brilliant, and she's creative, and I love every moment I've been with her, and much of it has been trying, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
Right. I'm sure I have babies out there that I would probably love if I ever got to meet them, but I'm glad I didn't. But to you?
They would say fuck.
Yeah, they would. My kids are probably in jail. What is the kids? I know the mothers that have been with trust me, they have no hope at all. Going back to our story, We are going to examine this because we did talk something seriously about this because times have changed. A man can go to jail with a woman or lose his job just simply by a woman feeling uncomfortable. Just simply by her feeling uncomfortable. That's reality now. A man could be – I told you the story. I was working at this realty place, making good money. I was a good guy. I was the only black guy there. There's four other white – there's five other white guys. So they hired this receptionist, and she had to – oh, my God, her cleavage was the best in the world. I have never seen a good set of tits in my life. I mean, they were beautiful tits. Very good cleavage. So she would come as a receptionist, and I made sure I did not look when she was – you know what I mean? And I go, oh, this is trouble, and I wanted my job. I go in one morning. They have all these guys around her desk. They're talking with the coffee and the this. I go to her, and I said, hi, did I get any messages? Yes, Mr. Jackson, you got two messages. I go, thank you. I did not look at her. I looked down at my shoes, whatever. I was going to go to my desk and imagine it. Okay. I get called in the office, and this is all true story. I get called in the office. I was doing really good. I was making good money. And I go, yes. They go, I have a complaint against you. I go, what complaint? Well, so-and-so said that you made her nervous. I said, what did I do? He goes, well, she gave you your messages, but you took a little bit too long. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not exaggerating. This is not a bit. He said that you were staring at her cleavage. Now, I don't have a filter. I could have denied it, but he caught me off guard. I didn't understand the question. I mean, I didn't study for this. And he goes, well, he caught you looking at cleavage. I go, did you see the tits on her? He goes, that's what we're talking about. I go, what? I go, man. He goes, I go, so what's the problem? Well, the problem is that she feels uncomfortable. And he said she caught you staring and she feels uncomfortable. It could be a hostile working place. I go, hostile working place? See, I didn't know any of this shit. It's just, you know, came to be. I said, there's four other dudes there. I mean, I think Keith was there.
Now we know.
I mean, if he was any closer, he'd be sucking her nipple. I mean, there were guys all around. I mean, I stood way back. He goes, it doesn't matter. She picked out you. They fired me. Bottom line, they fired me. But they didn't fire the other guys.
But look,
because she simply
like
felt.
Like I said, bro, we know what it is.
I mean, it didn't help when I walked around, walked away with a big heart on. I mean, she looked down. I mean, I could have, you know, but it, forget that. I didn't make any passes at this woman. She felt uncomfortable. So when I see going on with Cuomo and I hear certain stories, is this really legitimately that this guy should lose his job, whether you like Cuomo or not? And when you hear these stories, I don't think of it as Cuomo. I mean, I know we get into the politics and everything. I think of every man. This could happen to you. And says, no, ladies, don't think, oh, well, this is justice and he should have lost his job. And no, this could happen to your husband. Kids, what do you tell your sons? I would hate to be a millennial right now talking to my son about conducting himself at school or at work. How's that conversation going? Don't look at her. Don't do this. God forbid, don't say anything sexual to her. How's that talk go? Here's the story. So it goes down here to Cuomo. So, Chris, we're just going to stop. We're going to hop to Chris, which is his brother. But you're going to hear Cuomo charges against him. So the New York Attorney's and General Office, they released transcripts that shed new light on Chris Cuomo's involvement in his brother's defense. It says here, when Chris admitted to us that he had offered advice to his brother's staff, they're getting him on this. He's offering advice to his brother's staff. He broke our rules, and we acknowledge that publicly. That's what the spokesman said. We're going to get him for that. He cannot talk to his brother. He can't offer his brother's advice, especially to his staff. But we also appreciate the unique position he was in. However, these documents point to greater level of involvement in his than we previously knew. This is what Chris did. As a result, we have suspended Chris definitely pending further evaluation. It says the suspension came after significant criticism from people who noted that Cuomo had violated widely accepted norms. Inside CNN, some staffers expressed dismay about the anchor's conduct. One woman, her name is Charlotte Bennett,
She's a former aide to Andrew Cuomo. Okay, here we go. Who came forward in February to accuse him of sexual harassment. Called for CNN to immediately take action on his brother, Chris. So she's already mad at Andrew. So she's going to take her little vendetta on Chris. Anything short of firing Chris Cuomo reflects a network lacking both morals and a backbone. This is what she said. Anything short of firing Chris Cuomo reflects a network lacking both morals and a backbone. That's what she said in the tweet. You know she's either lesbo or a feminist. The Cuomo primetime team have been planning for Tuesday's broadcast up for the convention announcement. After the news was public, an emotional Chris Cuomo met with the show staff. While many media critics said the suspension was necessary, some viewers expressed disappointment that he was taken off the air. So here's what we have. So we're going to go into Andrew, who is the governor, former governor. Did Chris Cuomo really, if he, just giving his staff some advice, did he really get fired? I'm having a problem with this. It's his brother under the gun. And Chris Cuomo gave some advice. He's in the media. He's in the news. He knows what's going on. Did he get fired for this? Anybody. I'm having problems with this.
Well, here's the thing, Brian. Look, I think there's, a two-track tier or avenue or road here. Number one, you've got criminal allegations against Andrew Cuomo, which are matters of fact to be decided in a court of law. Okay, that's one thing. Then on the other hand, you've got Chris Cuomo, who is an alleged journalist, not much of one, but still an alleged journalist, who has an ethical responsibility, which never occurs at CNN anyway, but still, in theory, he's got an ethical obligation to his company in order to maintain an appearance of journalistic integrity. Now, there's also the concurrent problem of possibly him being charged with witness tampering, which is also a crime. And that would be a matter of fact to be decided in court. So I guess, given the fact that CNN are a bunch of cowards anyway and reprobates, they decided they can wash their hands of the affair like Pontius Pilate and try to minimize their liability. I agree with you. There's a lot of cowardice here. There's a lot of lack of ethics, and it's the usual thing you get from people who are weak-kneed and lack all integrity. That's the key 100%. Word here, integrity.
100%, because, you know, I look at it this way. They could have, when knowing that Cuomo was going through this, they should have put him on hiatus if they were a responsible news organization, saying, look, you're too close to this story. We cannot have you on the air at this time. Let us put you on... what do you call it? Not suspension, but let's put you on hiatus. Yeah. Bias going on. Now, if they were responsible, they could have done that, right? But they kept him on the air. You know why they kept him on the air? Because ratings. Oh, this is happening with his brother. Let's see what he's going to talk about.
CNN said that they were upset with Cuomo because he used their resources at the network to find out dirt on Andrew Cuomo's accusers. See,
really?
That's their thing in the game here. They're saying that he improperly and unethically used the resources of the station to help his brother get dirt on the people accusing him.
Ooh, that's a little different. That's a little different.
But here's what happened. Forget about
CNN
about
don't have no journalistic integrity. We all know it. We all know it. If they did, they would have been all over Chris when his brother was causing the deaths of senior citizens in nursing homes. But he turned a blind eye to it with their approval.
Here's what happened. Here's what happened. Forget about what you've read. The story is, and this is speculation on my part, that Cuomo upset somebody in the Democratic Party way up there more than he. And he has to pay the price. So he didn't kiss the ring of whoever is above him, and that person says, Andrew is, or Aunt Chris, the governor, Chris,
bit too big for his britches. We're going to have to bring him down. So they found 11 women to testify against him with this Me Too movement, most of which is bullshit. And then they took a look into Andrew in order to find something on Andrew in order to smear Andrew. So they took a look at Chris to smear Andrew. The real story is, if Cuomo was really doing something really, really egregiously wrong, he would have been tried and at least probed efficiently for those murders that he committed with the nursing homes. The fucking AG of New York.
You bastards.
Is the one.
You bastards. All of you.
The AG of New York also came behind Cuomo when he gave out that directive forcing the nursing homes to take in the COVID patients. And the AG came up with a directive and told these nursing homes, yes, you have to follow not only his directive, but our directive as well. And then she's assigned to investigate him. Again, it's speculation on my part. But Cuomo
I agree with Joe 100%. I agree with Joe 100%.
Nothing.
Because he was smearing the Democratic. Right. The Democrats have this pussy way of people that just a hint of something going on, and because they want to be known as a party if we do the right thing, and they're known as throwing their people to the wolves. I do agree with you, Joe. I really think this is political, but here it is. Let's hear the accusation, and you guys decide. The accusation is the one that bothers me, but maybe I don't know all the story. Here it is. This is CBS News. Talking to the accuser, Cuomo's accuser, governor denying sexual harassment. Here it is. You decide. Listen to the charges.
Joining us now for an exclusive interview is Charlotte Bennett, the former aide that the governor singled out to me. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The New York Attorney General said multiple times today that she believes you and the other women mentioned in this report. What does that mean to you?
Today was so validating and really emotional, and I feel vindicated. It's been a long day, but I'm proud to be a New Yorker right now.
The governor admitted that he asked you questions that he doesn't normally ask people because you told him you're a survivor of sexual assault. Do you think he's gaslighting you?
Absolutely. He's trying to justify himself by making me out to be someone who can't tell the difference between sexual harassment and mentorship. We have a report. We have the facts. The governor broke federal and state law when he sexually harassed me and current and former staffers. And if he's not willing to step down, then we have a responsibility to act and impeach him. Me. I am not confused. It is not confusing. I am living in reality, and it's sad to see that he's not.
What did he do?
And at one point, he said that he was trying to help you work through a difficult time. Did that seem like that was his intention?
Yeah.
No. His intention was trying to sleep with me. The governor today blamed generational or cultural.
He was trying to sleep with me. He didn't sleep with you, but he was trying to sleep with me. Oh. I think he should be fired for that, and I think he should be shunned, and he should be killed, because he was trying, a man trying to sleep with me is a crime. He was trying to sleep with me.
Hey, tell me something, Brian. What do you think is worse? A man describing an act of consensual sex when that man says, if you're a famous celebrity, women will let you grab them by the pussy, or
right,
someone who might be using their power in order to exert sexual favors from a woman. Now, I mean,
right,
that's the claim. That's
right,
the claim. Now, I'm not saying it's true.
Right.
But what you think is objectively worse? Someone who simply makes a description of consensual
right,
sexual activity. Remember the words he used. If you
right,
are a big celebrity, then women will let you grab them by the pussy. That, by definition,
exactly,
is
exactly. I grab
by
pussy.
Definition.
Everybody
no
grab pussy. There's nothing wrong with pussy grabbing.
Yeah, no matter
right,
how no matter how vulgar you think it is, it's still
right.
Exactly. Look at all the furor that was directed at the man who made that statement. Okay?
No.
Now look at what we got here with Andrew.
Okay, let me... just 1 second, Joe, and I'll let you know, you're absolutely right when I hear you put that to that point, Sarge, because what he said was true. Everybody knows that if you're a musician or a celebrity or some kind of celebrity, there are groupies out there that will let you grab them by the pussy. It's an open door. It's a pussy grabbing party. And that's all he said. That you grab them by the pussy. There are some women who don't wear underwear, so you're going to have access to the pussy grabbing.
You are literally describing a consensual act.
You're grabbing a consensual pussy. You're absolutely right.
Right.
Yes, Joe.
Access, as it was publicized, it left out that part because they made it seem that Trump said that he could. No, he said celebrities, they were allowed to. Because it was a pussy magnet.
Right.
State magnet. Then again, they took it out of context.
Right. But what he was saying is true. But what I'm trying to say is, and what Sarge's other point is, now if Trump tried to grab the pussy and said, if you don't let me grab your pussy, you're going to lose your job. Now, see, that's where he crossed the line, but he didn't do that. And that's what you were saying, Sarge. If it was a consensual thing and saying, hey, I want to do things, I'm reaching out to sleep with you, I'm attracted to you, and I may be coming on to you, so you're saying he just wanted to sleep with me, therefore he should lose his job, we're having a problem here. We're having a problem. So, you know... And I see the way she's dressed and everything, all sexy and her hair cut so nicely and her perfume. I know what's going on here. You're up here waiting for some weak man to go, hey, you look nice today. And she goes, gotcha. And there you go. 1 minute you're a man. Next minute she takes off your balls and you're running. You have a dress on and you're in the ballet. That's what happens.
So you think maybe a Letitia James has got ambitions on that governor's mansion in Albany?
Oh, yeah. Oh, she does. She'll get it, too. She'll get it. But let's continue.
I guess she ought to get it.
Well, you know, this is a different world. I mean, like I said, where I was brought up, you know, a woman was candy. You know what I mean? You kind of look at the candy. Sometimes you want to unwrap the candy. Sometimes you want to taste the candy. You can't bite the candy because that's the salt. But you know what I mean? Now, as I got older, they're like stale old donuts. You know what I mean? They get the fresh ones, the young ones get done, and then the old fresh ones just staying there, the old stale donuts. And the icing doesn't look as nice as it used to. It's kind of stale. But it's still a donut hole. I know. What am I saying?
Well, look, Brian, I'm going to say something that's fucking controversial. Going to get a lot of people pissed off at me, but I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. I don't care. We are being governed by the worst cacistocracy I think I've ever seen in my life.
I mean,
in the history of the United States. And much of these people have been put in these positions. I'm not talking about fanatical, ruthless, almost lunatic women. Now, not because they're women. Don't get me wrong. It's because of this modern-day wokeism, this intersectionality, and the need to just plug in some female face. Got to be a liberal now, which means you've got a tendency to be irrational from Jump Street. Now, you're not talking about people who are clearly competent, like Winsome Sears or Tulsi Gabbard or any number of or this woman in Dakota, South Dakota, Kristi Noem. Women who are clearly competent and capable of doing their job. No. The ones that get tossed up to us are nutcase radical fanatics like Cori Bush, Ilhan Omar, AOC, Kathy Hochul, who does religious services over COVID, and all these other crazy women.
You're calling the Democrats.
Like it's not like this. Hey, we're going
you got to put Marjorie. You got to put Marjorie in there. Corey. Oh, my God. You leave her alone. She's sacred. Let me tell you something.
Yeah, you know, I'm saying it's not like we're getting people like black because the zeitgeist of the day simply demands plugging in a female to show that we've changed.
Kamala Harris is the chosen one. She's the chosen one. She's sacred. Let me tell you something. Ellen and I experienced some sexual harassment that you would not believe, and we could have sued this motel. Ellen, are you still here? Because I'm going to tell this story. Ellen, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Here it is. I had an event. Ellen came to California. As we're leaving the hotel, by the way, nothing happened in the room, you dirty, filthy bastards. As we're leaving the hotel, there was a maid there. Nice-looking maid, wasn't she, Ellen? Really nice. Big titties, nice ass.
Yeah.
And she's going to go into the next room. So me being a gentleman as I am, did not know this woman. I looked at her and I said, hey. You know what I'm saying? And then she looked at me and she goes, hola. You know, because she didn't speak much English. I knew what she was talking about. And I said to her, come here. Give me a hug. She said, okay. And we hugged. And you know, I wasn't good enough for her. It could have stopped right there. It could have been a highlight of her day. It could have been things she talked to her grandchildren about that she hugged me. No, it didn't stop there. This woman, who is a predator, said to me, can I hug her too? And I looked around going, who? And she wanted to hug Ellen. Am I correct, Ellen? Am I telling the story?
Yeah. Yep.
Ellen, and so this woman, I go, okay, you can hug her. I go, let me ask her. I go, Ellen, Ellen was a good person. She was downstairs. She was walking down the stairs carrying the luggage. I couldn't. My little fingers were just done. Ellen was carrying two luggages. She had a bag on her back. She had two luggages in her hand. And I was by myself. I go, you're doing good, Ellen. You're doing good. Am I right, Ellen? Yes or no? Because they think I'm joking.
Yep, you're right.
I go, carry this. You're doing good, Ellen. She's walking down the stairs, two flights of stairs, wobbling back and forth.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, it felt like a package.
Yeah, I know you had the suitcases in the back. All right, Ellen, good job. So, that's all true. And so I said to Ellen, and Ellen could barely lift up her head. She goes, yes, and I could see the bead of sweat, you know. I could see that she could barely breathe. And I said, she wants to hug you, Ellen. Ellen goes, really? Because, you know, she's a backpack. I go, yeah, put down the luggage, Ellen. And do you want to give her a hug? She goes, oh, all right. She dropped the luggage and everything. Ugh. I'll give her a hug. And Ellen hugged her. And she hugged Ellen. I'm going, bitch, better let Ellen go. You have work to do. So hugged Ellen, shimmied her shoulders. I'm going, wow, Ellen, that was some hug. Ellen goes, yeah, her eyes got big. Was that a weird hug, Ellen? That was a weird hug, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yep.
That's right. And I said, okay, that's enough for you. Then no more hugging. Oh, okay. Ellen, pick up the bags. We got stuff to do. That's how it was. Harassment. We could have sued the hotel. But yeah. But here's, let's Ellen, you were pretty good lifting those bags. I didn't think you could do it, girl. But you did it. All right. You're bobbing me. I know you're baggy. Ellen's like 5'2". The bag's about 6'10". I got it, Hammer. I got it. All right. Here's the woman.
And Joe's I complain about women. You know that? That's what men have to
huh?
do. Workplace. Men in the workplace have to go to HR and say women are making them uncomfortable.
Right.
See how they like it.
Right. Exactly. Ellen made me uncomfortable. She could have smudged my bags. All right. Here's more.
Scratched them.
On this, I know, she could have kicked that back. You motherfucker. All right, here's more of this woman. Here's more of this woman.
Control perspective for the way he made jokes and the comments that he makes. Was what the governor did a generational misunderstanding? Publicly, he would rather play dumb. Privately, he knows that he sexually harassed staffers.
And I think it's easier to explain his behavior publicly by saying there was some misunderstanding.
The governor said today that he accepts responsibility and that he's making changes. Do you believe him?
Accepting responsibility means stepping down. So I don't believe him, and I don't want an apology. It's not necessary. It's fake. And his propaganda video was not only uncomfortable and inappropriate, but downright weird and unnecessary.
Why do you call it a propaganda video?
Because it's not about anything other than protecting him and his office. It is not protecting New York. He is not speaking for New Yorkers. He is not trying to do anything other than maintain the power that he has currently.
And then finally, what do you think is the effect of the governor's behavior, both in the past and then by the comments that he made today?
He is normalizing not only victim blaming, but sexual harassment. He is saying that women come forward with their stories and we don't need to take it seriously. It's simply a circus act at this point.
You actually think his comments are dangerous?
I think his comments are dangerous. I think it sends a message to New Yorkers that sexual harassment is not important, that it is not dangerous. It is. It is important, and it's also just plain illegal.
Well, there's more of our exclusive interview with Charlotte Bennett at 8, 7 Central on CBSN. You can download
it. Well, there she goes. I still would like to know what he... What I heard was that he told bad jokes. I heard that he touched a woman's breast when it was on a plane at the party. And that's what I heard. I haven't heard him say anything like, if you do this, you're going to lose your job, or if you don't do this, you will be disgraced and you'll never work again. None of that was even mentioned. And she just said it. He wanted to go to bed with me. She's an attractive woman, but how many people in a club or whatever came up to her and say, okay, I understand. You women are going to come in, and that's different, Brian. It's not at the workplace. I understand that. But unless he said, unless you don't do this, you don't get this, that's what I'm looking for, and I have not seen it. Any comments, anybody? Because now we're going to play from Andrew's testimony. You know, 612, you're live on the air with Brian Hammer Jackson, Ellen Sarge, and Fuck You Joe, and Miss Lisa. 612, you're live on the air.
Oh, George.
I
just want to say, from a conservative viewpoint, I love seeing liberals dealing with this issue, because when women were coming forward and accusing Trump or accusing Brett Kavanaugh, all they told us from the media, from the left, was believe all women. And how dare you question any woman's account or any woman's claim that she was abused or harassed in any type of way. And it's
right.
When Biden got accused, and now when, you know, Cuomo gets accused, all of a sudden we see it was total BS from the jump. And I just love how their hypocrisy gets exposed, and now they're sitting here all awkward trying to act like they want to believe women, but at the same time they want to discredit this woman because she hurts them politically. It's beautiful. I love it.
Well, do you think this is a political? What's happening with Cuomo? Is it political? This is nothing but political. What do you think? You think this is bullshit?
Oh yeah, obviously political. Yeah, definitely. Yes. Yeah. I mean, these women came up basically when he started getting popular. You know, during last year, during the pandemic, when he was getting all this positive media coverage, and Democrats were saying he might be a future presidential candidate. That's what these women always do. Same thing happened
right.
with Brett Kavanaugh. Same thing happens with any politician or any person of major influence. When they're about to come up into the limelight and move up, women show up, make these accusations in the hope of settling out of court and getting paid, or for whatever personal vendetta they have to try to take this guy out. This happens. How many times are we going to see this and not see it for what it is?
Right. Well, let me ask you something, sir. Are you working currently, or are you retired, or work from home?
No, I'm working.
Okay. Do you find that you had to change the way who you are because of women in the workplace? Have you changed the way you look at women at work, or how you speak or tell a joke? Has anything changed?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You cannot be alone with a woman in any setting, especially in a workplace environment at all. Because to do
right.
that, you're taking your job at risk. I mean, everyone knows that now. So anytime men are around women, they make sure it's either a group setting, there's a camera, there's some type of video evidence, because if you get alone with a woman, she can destroy your life.
Wow. Wow. Did you hear that? Being alone with a woman can destroy your life. What do you do? I don't know if you're a family man, but do you have that talk with your daughters, and do you have that talk with your son about this is a new environment and you must be careful? Have you had that talk?
Oh, no, not yet. My kids are too young, but when they get older, I definitely will.
Yeah. It's a damn shame. See, men, I mean, Sarge, Joe, do you have a comment with the caller? Because I agree with him 100% that he used the word, it is dangerous to be alone with a woman. I have seen men leave their office doors open if they had to bring a woman into the office. They had to make sure that door is open. They will not close that door at all because of fear. You guys have a comment on that?
Mike Pence said he would not get on an elevator alone with a woman, and that was a wise comment to make. He got ridiculed for it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, it's like everything the left poses for us. They absolutely refuse. They refuse to examine the contradictions created by their own madness. They just expect you to just accept it and move on. You're not supposed to notice it. Your caller just identified some of them. Because you know what? They expect us to eschew common sense and reason in everything they propose. These people are lunatics. Everything they do turns to S-H-N-I-T because what they believe is S-H-N-I-T.
But see, here's what I don't understand. Why aren't women, sir, I don't know if the caller is married or not, but why aren't women coming to the aid of men and saying, this must stop? This is ridiculous that men in the workplace have to fear being alone with a woman of some accusations that they're going to let him go. They would let him go. They would pay him off and say, we don't need to have this shit coming out here in this office. We can lose too much money. So they will. He can't fight this.
A lot of people these days, given the fact that the way a lot of people are educated these days, they actually believe they can hold two contradictory thoughts in their heads at the same time, and both of them are true. I'm sorry, we are not being taught how to reason anymore in many cases. Rational thinking is considered to be European, racist, and patriarchal. It must be eliminated. You can believe contradictory things at the same time. They all make sense because, after all, it isn't based in Western civilization. I mean, you think I'm overstating things? Are you hearing what these crazy people are saying now? The scientific method is racist.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Sexuality is racist.
Right.
Reasoning is racist. Nuclear families are racist. I mean, it's crazy what's going on out here, Brian.
It is crazy, but what can men do? I mean, I agree with the caller.
All of this is what they're doing to us, what they're doing to society, what they're doing to civilization. They want a great reset. They want a fundamental transformation. Isn't that what the freak said when he said he's going to keep the oceans from rising? We're just 3 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. They meant it.
Well, the thing about it is, I understand what you're saying, Sarge, and I understand what the caller is saying, and you just heard him. I mean, he's working, he's on the job, and you heard the word that he said is destroying. I mean, the word destroy came into the conversation. I mean, that's a powerful word. Do you live, I mean, is it a fear? You think it's a fear, or if it's a problem I just want to deal with? I'll talk to the caller. Do you think it's a fear being alone with a woman or dealing with a woman in the workplace, or is it just some problem I don't want to deal with? What is more prevalent in your feelings here?
Yeah, it has to do with leverage and not giving someone power over you. And to answer your prior question, you know, when you asked Sarge about why women don't, you know, step up or say anything about this, it's the same reason why this pandemic will never end. Because once people get power, they're very unlikely they're ever going to relinquish it voluntarily. So women have a new power over men that they're not going to let go. Same way the government has got used this pandemic to gain new powers over the country that they never had before or they can never achieve because of the Constitution. They're never going to let it go. So we're always going to be in this dynamic from now on. It will never end. It's just
it's
other people to adjust and adapt to a new environment so that we can
stand. New world order. You know, this is off the subject, but you brought up the pandemic. I don't, you know, I was for people being vaccinated. I bought into the propaganda. I was there. I got vaccinated. And then when I'm hearing this disturbing stuff on TV about this new thing coming out, I don't even know that, you guys know what I'm talking about, this new variant coming
Omicron
out.
Omicron is what they call it.
Yes. And they have the experts. I was listening to Fucky or whatever the other day, and I was listening to some other experts, and they actually said this. We don't know. We don't know of this. We do not know if our vaccines will work against this new variant. And I'm sitting there, isn't that a bitch? But then after they say that, they're saying, but we got to get vaccinated. I go, wait a minute. Just 5 seconds ago, you say you don't even know if this new vaccine can really be a deterrent. But then 2 seconds later, you said, we need to be vaccinated. And, I mean, Fauci even says, we don't know, but being vaccinated will help fight some of it. I'm going, are you kidding me? Now, here's the problem that I have, and I'm listening to these guys. They basically don't know. And they're saying, I don't know how it's going to mutate. We don't know how the vaccine is going to do it. Give us 2 weeks. We're doing study. But meanwhile, get vaccinated. I'm going, okay. And then they're telling me, well, if you got vaccinated, it wears off in 6 months, so therefore you need a booster. I'm going, what? Well, we should get booster. Hey, we're going to get booster to kids too. I'm going, what the hell is going on? And so I don't know. I'm not buying it anymore. I see Aaron Rodgers playing football, and he scored 3 touchdowns after he got COVID. I don't
Brian,
know.
I got worse news for you than that. Are you ready for it?
No, please. Go ahead.
Okay, well, you need to be aware of it because you're a smart guy, and you'll tell other people, and that's what I'm hoping you'll do. All right, the United States government, the Center for Disease Control, runs a site, a website. Called the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting Site. And on it, run by the United States government, okay? Not conspiracy theorists, the United States government in the reporting says that FDA records show over 158,000 adverse, quote, events, unquote, in the first 2.5 months of COVID shot trial. Now, here's what they say. During that time, 42,086 reports containing 158,893 events. 25,957 were said to be nervous system disorders, including about 18,000 deaths associated with the vaccine. Now, do I think overall the vaccine is positive for the overwhelming majority more so than not? Yes, I do. But never before, to my knowledge, in medical history, have we ever chosen to disregard threats to even a small portion of the population. We don't do that with shellfish or peanut allergies, do we? No. We take it seriously, and we take those people's needs into account. It is though this relentless desire to put all of us into a medical police state overshadows every other consideration.
You've got to ask yourself
why.
Yeah, I do agree with that. You know, I also have a thought. I thought this last night. They're going to do a study 4 years from now, but the effects of locking human beings down for a year or 2 years, the effect of being antisocial, the effect of having our children are so afraid of other children that they can't play with them because they're afraid they're going to catch some kind of variant and die. There has to be some kind of psychological effect, including with our children, that's going to last forever on this, and I just don't know what it is. Technically, I hate to say it, I got vaccinated in April, and I got my second dose in May. So, and they said 6 months, it usually lasts 6 months, and then you're going to need a booster. Technically, I'm unvaccinated now then because it's been 5 months. And I got to get a booster, and they're not sure this booster is going to really react or help me towards this new variant. And every new variant going to come out, I got to get vaccinated for that new variant because we know that viruses mutate, and there's going to be thousands and thousands of other different kind of variants of the original virus that's going to be happening down the pike.
Brian, overall,
no, don't get it.
Over 99% survival rate. Every credible study I have seen says that natural immunity is better than the vaccine.
I kind of agree. Now, the caller said something. I agree with you, Sarge. The caller said something like, don't get the booster. Why not?
Yeah. Okay. So in Israel is the most vaccinated country in the world, and they've had several studies on the effects of the vaccine in contrast to natural immunity. But when it comes to boosters, what they found is once you get your third shot, what would be called your second booster, then the likelihood of negative or adverse reaction to the actual vaccine drastically increases. The amount of people getting myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart, which can lead to heart attacks and strokes, goes drastically higher. The likelihood of getting blood clots goes drastically higher. So if you've been vaccinated, if you've been fully vaccinated at first, you bite that bullet, the chance of you getting a serious reaction is pretty low. As long as you don't get a booster, you'll be good to go. And there's no need for you to get a booster. I mean, I don't know how old you are. If you're under the age of 60, you don't need to get it, in my opinion.
Right.
Have you talked to your doctor at all? Have they told you that you're immunocompromised?
He says I'm too young. He says I'm too young to get it. But see, that's the controversy right there. If I'm too young to get it, then I hear on the news everybody should get it. I'm going, wait a minute, what the hell is going on here? I mean, it's just contradictory after contradictory.
And why do you think that is? Why do you think they want everyone to get it, including children?
I don't know, but it smells of money, big pharma.
There you go. That's it.
And but then again, I have to go with control, governmental control, and government taking over our body, and I have to go with that too.
It's both.
Yeah.
Well, don't you think at the very least they ought to check to see if maybe, because many people already have it and don't know they have it. And they've got T cells and natural antibodies already in the booster, and no one even suggests a universal check to see if they've already acquired natural immunity.
You know, every time I look,
I was going to say before I got disconnected, was that they've also changed the definition of fully vaccinated. So
yes,
it will not stop there. You're going to have to take booster after booster after booster, plus the pill, and they're also injecting into our food supply the vaccine, so-called vaccine. So
I don't know about that. I don't know about
that. That's a real fact. They actually put an article out saying that they're going to put the actual the elements of the vaccine within certain foods, so that people who aren't vaccinated will still get it in their system.
Seriously?
That's a real thing.
Ain't that some shit?
Yeah. But you can look up the article. I think it was, I forgot, it was like maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago that was announced, but that's their next plan.
Well, I know Flynn said it, that they were worried about putting the vaccine in the salad dressing. I'm thinking that was a cute thing. But I don't know. I can't say no. Because there's crazy shit.
Of course it can.
Right.
If the government can go this far, it can go even further.
Because it would harm too many people. See, the thing about it. Oh, I'm sorry, Lisa. Go ahead. I'll give you the other side of it, Joe, after Lisa.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Lisa.
Why are they forcing this on people? I don't understand it. I mean, they're telling folks they can't travel out of the country, in or out of the country, unless you show proof of having this vaccine. There's so many people who believe that their natural immunity, without having all this other chemical stuff in their body, will protect them just as well. You know, you just don't have the right to force this stuff on people when they have not been taking anything, but like a group of family has not vaccinated their children for apparent reasons, different reasons on
I'll tell you why.
So you're saying that, you know, if you don't get this vaccination, you guys can't travel nowhere, and on top of that, we're going to put it in your food because you're refusing to take it. That doesn't sound right.
Yeah, and my argument towards that is, And I'm not saying it's not possible, because the government has done many They've done a lot of things.
They've done atrocities. But,
yeah, they have.
But getting back to what?
The reason I don't think that's possible.
And the head about it lies to the Senate. Yeah, you can say so. Yeah.
Well, the reason I don't think that's plausible, because there's too many people can be allergic to the vaccine. We haven't had to study on that yet, and that's almost like the peanut allergy. So if you start,
I'm going to address what Lisa said. Lisa said she doesn't understand, and this is the final Rubicon. Okay, this is what Americans will not accept until it's too late. Americans will accept that, yes, our politicians are corrupt and they make backroom deals, you know, and most of the time they'll say, well, that guy over in Idaho, that his senator, he's corrupt, but my guy, the guy I voted for, he's not that corrupt. They will not accept the fact that our Congress has sold and will continue to sell America down the river for 20 pieces of silver. They will not accept it. They will always think it cannot happen here in America. But it is happening here in America. That's why, Lisa. That's why you're confused, because you will not accept it. And I'm not saying you're wrong for not accepting it. We just can't, as America, until Americans do, we're not going to fully wake up, because we're going to continually think that our government is there to protect us. The history of governments is only there to protect people for as long as the governments can benefit from it. When the governments can't benefit from it, they turn into democide. Democide is the major cause of deaths in the world. And you know what democide is?
You are correct.
It is the destruction of one's own citizens by one's own government. Not war, not natural disasters, and not diseases. The government killing its own citizens. So until the people of all nations can wake up to believe, and in other nations it's more there, they're more inclined to do so. But here in the United States, we're not. But until we wake up to fully realize that our government, the ones we've elected from those that they've selected, will kill us because of a few million bucks, we're going to say, well, it's going to be action, reactions, it's going to be, what is it, problem, reaction, solution.
I have a feeling it had a lot to do with politics and the government. It doesn't make sense to push people to do something that they naturally wouldn't do to their body, you know? I mean,
you know,
I wouldn't have taken in the side if I didn't feel like, you know, it would help me medically.
Lisa, you brought up a point, and here's what didn't make sense to me, because I started thinking a lot. They told me when this propaganda first came out, I took Pfizer, and they said, Pfizer, you need 2 doses to be fully vaccinated. I go, cool, I'll buy that. Did it. Then with this new thing about this mandate and all this other political bullshit, they're saying, oh, well, if you had 1 dose of a vaccine, you're fine. That means you're vaccinated. I'm going, whoa, you're telling me that I needed 2 doses to be fully vaccinated, but yet now you're making exceptions that people who got 1 dose could be okay, and you're calling that vaccinated. There's something seriously wrong going on here. And I'm living in society. I go into a pizza place or a restaurant, and I see people with masks. I go, okay, cool. I turn around, they take off their mask, and they start talking, and talking like for 2 hours with no mask on, and then they have to put their mask on before they go out the place. They're going, what kind of nuts is this? They pull down the mask. If it's this deadly, if this virus is so deadly, why are you letting these people talk with no mask on while they're eating in your restaurant? It makes something seriously wrong is going on here.
And have you not noticed the attitudes of the elites toward their own edicts, like London Breed in San Francisco and Gavin Newsom in California and all these others? The rules for thee, but not for me. Barack Obama and his big party out there in Martha's Vineyard with the little spurs who are serving the food required to wear the mask. But all the sophisticated partygoers, oh, no, they're not required to abide by them. That tells you all you need to know.
Well, you know what else tells me all I need to know, Sarge? When I watch a football game and I see 30,000 fans and nobody's wearing a mask, You know what I mean? And I'm watching, I turn the other channel, there's another 60,000. And I'm not hearing deaths going up. I'm just saying.
And they're chanting, let's go, Brandon, let's go. I love it.
You dirty. I think I
another,
just.
And there's a very, and
yeah.
There's another thing, too, about a little old technicality. Just Napolitano, which I'm sure Sarge is very familiar with. These mandates, these edicts, they're not legal. They're unconstitutional because they're not law. They're mandates. And yet people throughout the 50 states are following them.
Yes.
Something's wrong there.
No. Nothing's wrong there. You know what it is? Is the government is putting the screws on them, saying that if you don't obey what we said, we're going to fine you. They're not doing it because they're thinking it's a health problem. They're doing it because they don't want to get fined. We have it here in California. It went in effect this Sunday, that if you go to a bar or any eatery inside a thing, you have to show that you've been vaccinated. And here's the other, what do you call it, the black market kind of thing what the government is doing. If we find out that you're letting people in, we're going to fine you. We're going to be the police. We're policing you. This is what this is what's going on here. And so, Joe, it's not a it's not anything law. It's
Brian,
just saying that government has the right to fine you. We're doing this, yeah.
Yeah, this regime repeatedly defies Supreme Court rulings on the subject. Repeatedly. You know the same regime that accused Donald Trump of being a dictator? He has defied, so far, to my knowledge, 4 Supreme Court edicts regarding this mandate. One issued by a bloody bureaucrat nationalizing the real estate industry in the United States, not once, but twice. And the same thing with mandates, where Joe Biden literally issues executive orders for things for which he has no constitutional authority whatsoever. He is lawless, and so is his administration.
Well, you know, they did go overboard with Donald Trump because he was not a dictator. We could all agree he was just a dick. If they stopped that he's just a dick, we're okay.
Well, that's not what it's about. We know when it peaks twice over nothing. They accuse of being a Russian agent. We know it's a lie. Now we see who the Russian agent. They were the Democrats.
Oh, come on.
They were Hillary Clinton.
Were you, I got the dossier right here, mister. I got the PP tape. I got the PP tape.
Written in Russia.
Have you seen what's coming out with Miranda Devine's book on the laptop from hell and the revelations in that book? It's beyond
I know. But see,
so
here's the thing,
Hunter,
Sarge.
Hunter Biden?
Yeah. But here's the thing.
Oh, okay.
We all know politicians are corrupt. Let's not play this game. We know, I don't care what administration that was in there, we know that it's corrupt. We know. Nobody trusts a politician. We just vote for them for our own agenda. We don't give a shit about them. Hey, you're going to build a bridge? Hey, I'm going to vote for you. I know you're a scumbag. I know you got a porn star in your bed. Who cares? Look at Kennedy. He used the White House as a whorehouse. And he even gave Marilyn Monroe to his own brother. We didn't care. As long as you stop those missiles from Cuba, right on. And the civil rights movement. We vote for the people for our agenda. What they do, how they behave.
$5.79 a gallon gas, 3.6 unemployment.
$5.25. $5.25. Well, you know, Biden released the emergency oil, and the gas prices will go down. Good old Biden. Go, Biden.
And a half days worth of energy usage in the United States? Oh, yeah, that was great. That's going to make a difference.
Hey, he gave us $1,200.
50 million barrels of oil, of which 12 million had already been pledged, which meant a net of 38 million, and energy usage in the United States is 19 million barrels daily.
Right.
So that's a little bit over 2.5 days worth of energy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Come on. We know what this is. You don't need to go to OPEC, you big dummy. All you got to do is go to Texas.
Caller, I want to thank you. I want to go back to, we only got a couple of minutes left. I'm not going to play the tape. I think the caller left. Somebody left. Okay. I'm not going to play the testimony of Andrew Cuomo because it's going to take 2 hours, and we'll do that tomorrow. But we're on this subject about women and men, and I have to send a message to ladies. You have sons and you have husbands, and I don't know why you don't speak out, because you got a husband that's working his ass off, and you live in a nice area, and any woman at any time can give some kind of, if she doesn't like your husband, any kind of accusation, he's gone. There is nothing that he can do. He's not going to fight it. He can't fight it. And I don't understand why women just say, you know what, I got to protect my sons, I got to protect my husband, let's fight this thing. I have not yet heard of a lawyer, all these people going down, Cuomo and what's his name from the Today Show, Matt Lauer, and all these people going down and say, we're going to pay you off and just leave. Why don't you fight? Bring these women, I guarantee you, these women who are accusing you with this fake, he touched my breast, he looked at me, he touched me, I was unwanted, I guarantee you they're not going to show up for court. They're not. I don't know why men are fearful of this. And well, I understand why, but don't we have enough balls to fight this shit? 111, you're back. Anybody has a solution?
Yeah, where do I go to get my reputation back? That's the question.
How you doing, Sarge?
Right.
How you doing? My brother told me some advice.
That's the thing.
Exactly. My brother told me some advice. He says, you know, Brian, he goes, here's advice on women. Think of them as elevators. You can look up and down, but just don't make any stops, and you'll be fine. that was his advice.
Oh, you sexist, you.
I mean, they're really taking our manhood, every being, they're taking our testosterone away, they're taking who we are, and do you guys agree with me that these new men, these millennial new men are nothing but pussies, and they support this, and this stuff that, like I said, son-in-law, his niece, she decided to say that she won't answer to she anymore. She's a beautiful girl. She doesn't want to be known as a gender anymore. She's non-binary. I go, I don't know what the fuck it is. So she's going to get offended if I call her she, or let's go over her house. She would get offended. I could get sued. This is how serious it is. What is going on? And why are we letting these nutcases?
Totalitarianism. It is totalitarianism. We're involving the government in every aspect of our life. The fact that the lawsuits are available for considering the biological fact of this woman you just referred to is a subject to a lawsuit is evidence that we are entering a totalitarian regime.
We kind of are. We kind of are. You ladies, how do you?
Brian, think about it.
Going back.
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Hold on. Going back to the pandemic, did you get the breaking news about the first case of Omicron was discovered in California?
I'm sure it is. It was only a matter of time. It's a virus, for Christ's sake. There's no way in hell that virus, with people traveling in and out of airports, international, what are you going to do, stop trade and everything? Half of California is owned by Middle Eastern people. Of course they're going to come out here and do business and everything. Yes, I'm not surprised. But it's going to make news because they need the ratings. Mm-hmm. This I've been hearing that, oh, you know what, we've been looking at Africa and the virus is not that bad. People are having mild symptoms. Two people saying, alert, alert, it's on its way here. Let's go back to wearing masks indoors. I mean, it didn't work the first time. And the masks that you're wearing are not N9 masks. You're wearing some thin little material that's going to, you think it's going to protect you, that breathes, if it breathes air, it breathes, the virus can go penetrate that material that you're wearing as a mask.
Yeah, it's like trying to stop a mosquito with a chain link fence.
Exactly. I mean, let's just be real here.
Why isn't Joe Biden a xenophobic racist right now? I want to know. I'm serious. He's doing worse than what Trump did. He has less information to go on than what Trump did when he enacted his travel bans. And by the way, his travel bans weren't just from Asia. They also included Europe. You've got Joe Biden targeting African nations exclusively.
You got a point there.
To go on about the virus. This is the strain of the virus. But yet I don't even call them a xenophobic racist.
Well, because they're saying that this originated from Africa.
No.
it's because he's a Democrat. Let's just call it like it is. He's a Democrat. Democrats can get away with just about murder, and the media is going to always spin it positively. No, I'm serious, Brian, because you talked about this earlier about corrupt politicians. The issue is not whether politicians are corrupt. The fact is the matter is that there's a double standard. When Republicans do even the slightest, a Republican can jaywalk. It could be front.
Right.
It'll be the front page news in the media. A Democrat could murder someone like JFK's brother did when he killed that woman, and they'll spin it like, oh, this guy's a patron saint. That's the issue we got in this country.
Well, let's be fair.
Illustrated right there. Remember when Trump did a travel ban to China, they called him a xenophobe and a racist. Biden does the same thing in South Africa. Oh, the great, wise, beloved leader. Come on, man.
Well,
dude, wake up, man. This whole thing is a lie.
Well, here we go. First of all, I don't even know how to answer that. The Democrat, I mean, I think Trump did the war against Democrats, and I think a lot of people bought into it. And he was the first leader or candidate that attacked another party. And so, and now we got Q saying that all Democrats and Hollywood elites are bloodthirsty people, cannibals, and eating children. I mean, we got to that point. We got people storming. You know, I'm going to switch the subject because this is really bothering me, and maybe you guys can help me because some of you guys support Trump, and I like this. I like some people who are Democrats, some people are Republican. They're all in the studio. I love this. But here's what I don't understand. They're talking about this January 6th, the Capitol rioting. So I watch Rachel Maddow's, and I'm listening. Oh, this guy's getting in jail. This guy's getting in. Then all of a sudden, I watch CNN. And they're talking about the rioting at this. And a person asked a question that I wanted to know. What's going to happen? Okay, you want to go after Trump? You want to go after this? Yes. Okay. You really think that you're going to have some criminal, you know, Trump is going to be in handcuffs and everything? And they said, no. So, and you're having problems with Bannon and everything. Are they going to be locked up and everything? They go, possibly no. I said, what are you doing with this January 6th? They go, we just want to know what happened and so it doesn't happen again. I go, you're... Really? That's all you want to know? Is that what happened? And so you don't want to – you're calling all these people. You're making all these things like, oh, he got a subpoena, and he's going to go to jail, which he's not going to go to jail. And he got this, and you're saying all this shit, and you really – and this whole thing comes down to we want to know when it happened, who was involved, so it doesn't happen again. I said, okay, this is bullshit. I'm out. Why are we wasting time with this shit? So you,
so
it doesn't
have money off of it. So that's
no kidding.
The Republicans did the same thing when they came to Hillary Clinton when they talked about, oh, we're going to arrest her and do all this.
Right.
They knew full well nothing's ever going to happen, but they got to go to their fundraisers and convince them to give them the money. That's what it comes down to.
Same thing with the Russia thing, remember?
How much money Democrats raised off of Trump colluded with Russia, even though they knew it was BS the whole time. And they still were running and trying to get money off of it. They still do to this day, by the way. But
it was more than just BS. They actually violated the law and the FISA Act in order to do it. They literally lied to a FISA court about the verification of the evidence they presented to it. They literally circulated internal memos among themselves saying that the information they presented to the FISC court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, was not verified and corroborated, which is a requirement to submit a request for a warrant before that court. They literally violated the law. And then you had James Comey have two press conferences where he detailed why Hillary Clinton violated the Espionage Act. And then he went on to say, but since she didn't have an intent to, she was not going to be pursued with a criminal prosecution or grand jury indictment. And the law doesn't require intent. It only simply has to happen. Like that poor sailor who took a picture of his station in a nuclear submarine, which the Russians were already aware of, but he still got a dishonorably discharged and sentenced to 8 months in a brig. He had no intention of doing it. And they knew it.
Right.
The only thing that was required under the law was to prove that it was done. James Comey told us why she did it, and then they embedded a new codicil in the law, which ain't there.
You're right.
These Democrats get away with murder.
Well, we don't, really. I am a Democrat, and I don't like what's going on. I'm just hearing a little whiny, he's mad at me, and she said this about me, and I'm looking at these you little whiny bitches. I'm talking about Democrats, and I'm really disappointed in them. We only got 10 minutes left. I just want to say, I want to read a couple of things, and this is Cuomo when he's striking back, because then we're going to find a little bit more of what's going on here. They're asking Cuomo. Cuomo says, I would have to lose my mind to do such a thing, meaning touch a woman's breasts. It would be an act of insanity to touch a woman's breasts and make myself vulnerable to a woman for such an accusation, which is true. And he's talking in a video. He says, during another exchange, Cuomo appears to dodge questions about whether a woman mentioned in testimony was his girlfriend. It said here, how do you want to define girlfriend, Cuomo asks. And a person asks, did you date her? How do you want to define date, Cuomo responded. Oh, come on, Cuomo. At another point, Cuomo accused Kim of doing the bidding of former U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara, saying it's a political attack against him. He says, you know that I said that, Pete, and you were unethical and should not be considered for an attorney general, Cuomo said. Pete has a political aspect, blah, 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 blah. Let me see. It says here, Cuomo testimony and her office interviewed 10 women who accused Cuomo of harassment. More transcripts containing interviews with staff and outside advisors were released. I just want to know I'm not reading what the harassment was, but like I said, one that I heard was he made a sexual comment about a woman's breasts. He asked a woman about personal questions, and he made her feel uncomfortable, and that was it. That's all I know. So, I don't know. There you go. Well, going back to our original thing, men are, you got to be careful. You just got to be careful. You can lose your livelihood. I don't know how to defend myself against a woman. I mean, I'm alone with Lisa, and Lisa will pick me up in Uber, and I go, hi, Lisa, how are you? Your lips look wonderful. She stops the car, throws me out in traffic, get run over on the freeway, and it'll be justified murder. He made me uncomfortable. I had to get rid of his ass. So I don't know. I don't know. Ellen,
I think Andrew Cuomo would be going a little too far.
Well, look, I just said a moment ago, and they get away with murder. Andrew Cuomo literally got away with liability for the deaths of thousands of senior citizens in nursing homes through his deliberate policy. Why in the hell shouldn't he think he can get away with grabbing a little titty?
You know what? You're absolutely right. This is absurd, because that is legitimate about putting these elder people into the situation where they're pandemic, but yet they're going to make him resign because some woman felt uncomfortable because of grabbing a little titty. This is absurd. Well, maybe there's not an elderly person who can say, he put me in a home. It was like an oven. I felt like a Jew on a Sunday night at the Holocaust. Oh, shit, I shouldn't have said that.
That's the way to go.
I know. Happy Hanukkah.
Really?
Happy Hanukkah. Yeah. I know. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I want to thank... I don't know what to do with this. I'm not on the air every day anymore. They hate me. I want to thank Sarge for coming in. I do want to thank Sarge for coming in. I want to thank the Fuck You Joe for coming in. Thank you, Fuck You Joe. He's gone. The caller who came in. Sounds like a Trump supporter. I like the way he thinks. Thank you, caller. You're probably still listening. Thank you for calling in. And, of course, Miss Lisa, the beautiful Miss Lisa, the queen of Uber. Thank you, Miss Lisa, for showing up today.
Hey,
yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, I do what I can do.
Well, you do
good. And when are you coming back? And when's your next show?
You know what? Tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow. I'll be back tomorrow.
Good.
Tomorrow's Thursday, so I'll be on at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. All you have to do is go to Blog Talk. What is it? BlogTalkRadio.com, I think it is. And
yes,
hit my follow button.
Are you asking to tell it? Brian?
I don't know. I don't follow me. Go to blogtalkradio.com / Brian Hammer Jackson.
I'm in Waukesha or not, but you really ought to look into it in detail. It is truly fascinating. The implications of it are really interesting.
What show is that?
Waukesha, Wisconsin. The SUV driving through the parade. The implications of it with regard to bail reform and everything else, the obliviousness to the racial aspect of it all. Oh, it's a study in contradictions.
Is that a Blog Talk show, or is that a study I should be looking into?
The incident that happened in just the other day with Darnell Brooks. Autonomous SUV that went through the parade.
Would you own one of those? I don't know if I feel comfortable getting in a car, I'm drunk, and having it programmed to drive me home. I don't know if I feel good about that. Could you do that?
Well, I had them in 2010. No. That's what it was. It was a 2010 SUV that developed a mind of its own somehow. But these new ones, would I drive one? Hell no.
Oh, man.
I would drive nothing that can be hacked.
Exactly. There was a case where a guy did actually hack a car and cause it to act. I don't know. Things goes wrong with cars, right? I mean, you're driving, all of a sudden the muffler. You're driving, go, what is that? You're driving, and your car overheats. It doesn't just happen, slowly. Sometimes the shit happens. Hell, I'm driving a car that's by itself, and shit goes wrong. Maybe there's an electrical storm or something. Fuck that shit.
Do you know what a drive-by-wire car is and why they call it drive-by-wire?
Is it wired to the Wi-Fi in the neighborhood? I don't know.
There is no physical connection between the steering wheel and the steering linkage. It is done by servo motors, solenoids, and computer chips. You understand that? There's no linkage.
I do.
There's no physical mechanical linkage. You don't have a steering column with a slip joint and a universal joint and all that actually connects to the mechanical steering linkage. No, you've got a series of computer interfaces and servo motors with wires.
Well, can you imagine the future, Sarge? Can you imagine you call Uber and a car drives up by itself and asks you to get in? That's the future. That's the future.
No, I mean, I don't like it.
I don't like it one bit.
Uber,
and I'm sorry.
Wow.
Uber already tried it. They scrapped it because it killed somebody.
Did you really, Ellen? Seriously?
Yeah, that's true.
Imagine.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Damn.
I heard that. I gotta look that up. That's the first I heard that, but okay.
I remember what you're talking about. I can't remember the details, but I remember it. You're right.
Wow. I want to thank the lovely Ellen. She graced us with her presence. Thank you, Ellie, for coming in.
I mean, I wouldn't do it. It doesn't matter. Who would buy? I mean, common sense says that if it's mechanic, I know there's human error in everything when it pertains to a human being. Fixing or whatever.
I know.
So it has to be a human being to put this thing together. You don't think that there'll be some kind of human error in this machine?
Exactly.
There ain't no way I'm going to get into this.
Exactly. I'm still upset about those cars that parked. Miss Lisa, I'm still upset about those cars that parked themselves. I don't trust that bitch. I mean, I'm going, hell no.
I saw these people... Summons the car, basically. The car came out of the parking spot, turned itself around, and went to where the people were. I watched this thing.
Brian, listen.
And freaking, excuse me, Ellen.
Wow.
I was doing this in Louisiana, And I'm telling you, that freaked me out. I'm like, how the hell did this car even know to go to where they follow the key or something? I'm like, uh-uh, no, there's no way.
Wow.
believe me, Brian, the only autonomy in the Waukesha situation was the fact that the accused is a black supremacist 5%er who hates white people. His social media is riddled with it. He calls himself mass flyboy, which means that he's taking into account the mathematics of being a 5%er. And you should look up what the 5%ers are. They're offshoots of the Nation of Islam. He's got a 40-page rap sheet. His most recent offense was for running over his baby mama's leg with the same autonomous SUV from 2010 that ran over all them people in Waukesha.
That ran over the people, yeah. Oh, that's right. That's where.
Violent felonies.
Right. That's what I heard.
Bail.
Right. I know.
Okay,
I know.
Okay,
it was it a cash bail? Yes, Ellen. Yes, Ellen.
Okay, here you go. And this is coming from the New York Times, and this happened in March of 2018. San Francisco, Arizona officials saw opportunity when Uber and other companies began testing driverless cars a few years ago. Promising to keep oversight light, they invited companies to test the robotic vehicles on the state's roads. Then on Sunday night, an autonomous operated by Uber and with an emergency backup driver, see, they had a driver in the car, behind the wheel, struck and killed a woman on a street in Tempe, Arizona.
Damn. Yeah.
They said that the car did not recognize jaywalking pedestrians, and it killed her.
Yeah, I remember that.
So there was a driver, and there still was an accident? That don't make sense. I'm sorry. I hear what you're saying, Ellen.
They got to stop with this future bullshit.
It'll be easy to do all of this when we go to electrical vehicles. Damn the logistical considerations. That's of no importance to you peasants because it won't work anyway, and we could force all of you into light rail.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
That is true. They do predict in 2024 all cars will now be electric driven. So,
yeah, like I said, logistical and environmental considerations be damned.
Right.
Think about
that
it, sir. Think about it for a minute. Here's the biggest problem with electrical vehicles. Not the fact that, you know, they're not quite as flexible as internal combustion vehicles. We all know this. But here's the problem with it, really. Minimum charging for a sedan-sized car to go to a full charge from being significantly discharged is something on the order of 7 hours. That means you have, if you want to get a full charge, you've got to park it at a charging port for 7 hours.
Damn.
Now, how is this going to be managed given the current level of saturation of automobiles? Let's say we translate that to electrical vehicles. How many electrical ports are going to be available, and how manages who gets access to the electrical port for how long when you don't own a house and a garage?
Right. Right.
They're not even talking about it. You notice there's no discussion of it? And that ought to tell you all you need to know. They don't intend for us to even be in automobiles of any kind.
Right. That is true. That is something to think about. Well, I guess I'll see you guys tomorrow morning. Be safe, everybody. Thank you for
the cars in the United States right now. 275 million. There will not be 275 million charging ports.
I agree with you, Sarge. I do agree with you. How that's going to work? And how do you do it in your home? I see the commercial where they have it in their home. I'm thinking, how much is your electricity bill going to go up? I don't know. I mean, I don't understand. To get your home done with
electricity. I understand it isn't about what you need. It's about what they need for the Great Reset and the Green New Deal. It's about you.
Yeah.
It's about
I know.
Them. The elite.
The automobile
represents personal liberty. You don't need liberty. You need us to control your life and be the gatekeeper of your prospects.
Well, that's how they're doing it with the pandemic. But you know what, Sarge? Look at the good point. In about a year and a half, you can do your own reset and put some Republicans in that office, right? You can do your own reset.
As long as they're not assistant Democrats, maybe. But I don't even trust them.
I know. I hear you. I know. I know. It's just a clusterfuck. But we'll get through this. I promise you. Again, you guys, thank you so much for coming in. And I love you guys. I'll see you guys tomorrow. And Miss Lisa Sarge and the lovely Ellen. And let me see. Well, those are the people who are here today. I'll see you.
Yo, Brian,
I'll see you.
Yo.
Bye, baby. Bye.
Yo.
Drive careful. Drive careful. You pretty young thing, you. Drive careful. Ellen, you pretty young thing. All you pretty young things. Ellen and Miss Lisa. Sarge, you're a pretty young thing, too. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
This is Brian the Hammer Jackson, signing off to you pretty young things. Think of me as I think of you. Make sure you have a tissue. Bye, y'all.